B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a General Knowledge Wednesday on the Mike Fasanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philadelphia. It's snowing out there. If you're on the road, be careful. Pretty much everybody who had to work somewhere probably got excused early so you get home. So be careful out there. We're all, we're all armed with our big heavy snow boots and big heavy coats for when we go out after this show where it's probably going to be like 2 feet of snow laying down on the ground. So here, nestle in. And it's like the old days, put your radio or your phone and get the app going and put a fire on at home and, I don't know, have a little midday action. And by action, I mean...
Wait, what?
Tea.
Oh, I thought you meant the show. Action,
just hanging around the fire, listening to us. That's the
right.
That's the action I was talking about.
Okay.
Because if you're having the other action, you're not listening to the show.
No.
Although I...
Or maybe you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you are.
It actually would be flattering to us. But that's
sticking with the D.
Yeah. So here we go with Sixer talk today. Yeah, it's Wednesday. They played last night. Charles Barkley's coming on at 3:00, and we'll get some views for him. So what did you think? The new look Sixers unveiled last night. The obvious goods of last night. Joel Embiid looks spry. They used him in a pick and roll. It looked like some different things that Doc Rivers did, other than what Brett Brown used to do with this squad. The spacing on the floor, it's a work in progress, but I thought they had good spacing early on. I thought that a lot of guys played well, including Shake Milton off the bench. Shake Milton coming through. Can we get our first shake? We get the first. Yeah, I figured you'd be armed with the shake thing because all right, we'll get that a little bit. There we go. Anyway, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So Shake Milton, not shy at all last night. Looked like he was very assertive, and he's going to be a guy who's going to have to be very assertive. He's going to come off the bench that early, and they brought him off the bench early. They brought Dwight Howard off the bench early, and for reasons that are still unclear to me, they brought Furkan Korkmaz off the bench early. But I assume that. That won't last. But what do I know? Tyrese Maxey in the fourth quarter. Now, listen, I know he's playing against scrubs at that point, but he moves well on a basketball floor, and you can see it. He's got a natural instinct to move around. I love guys that can move that way. And he puts himself into a really interesting little clear positions where he can get off shots, whether it's a push shot, whether it's a floater, whether it's a jumper. So he's going to be a very versatile player. I think he's got to get a little stronger. But I could see by the middle of this season, Tyrese Maxey playing a major role in this. So it was all good for me. Listen, I hate to pick on one thing, but, number 25 didn't shoot it. So I'll say that really low. He didn't shoot it. And I'm gonna have to adjust. I can't put myself through this. I can't do it. I can't put myself through this every day. I've got to expect that he's not going to shoot the basketball and hope that that's going to be okay. Right?
Yeah, yes, I think that's where we all have to get to.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of positive things. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that though.
Yep.
It looks like in the game he was trying to refine some of the off-ball stuff, mm-hmm. and he played really great in spurts where he controlled the game. But in that way, for that specific thing that I don't want to say right now because it still is preseason, it does appear like that hasn't changed.
No. I guess we can't focus on that at this point. And hopefully it'll come a little bit at a time. But, in game one, I would think that somebody would – it's determined to shoot it, would shoot it, but he didn't. But that doesn't cloud what I saw last night. I thought, I think Doc Rivers is a coach that knows that they've got to really work on things. But I thought it was a pretty good start. Did you?
I absolutely did. They played at a pretty good pace,
mm-hmm.
and I always wonder with a short, and both teams, by the way, came out of the game just as healthy. I know the Celtics have more injuries in general than the Sixers, but both teams came out healthy, which is the most important thing. They were moving at a pretty good pace and going pretty hard pace-wise. Everybody looked spry. Nobody, no hammies, no ankles, anything like that. That tells me that the guys were pretty diligent in the offseason. Obviously, Danny Green, I feel like he just finished playing basketball, so he wasn't so much a concern. Mm-hmm. But you didn't know about some of these other guys. Curry, Simmons coming off of surgery with the knee, Embiid, everybody. So that was really positive. And they looked very different. They looked like they were trying some things, and it seemed like everybody had a space on the floor. And I will give Ben Simmons credit for one thing. Embiid was doing a whole bunch of off-ball cutting and on-ball screening, I should say, a bunch of screening. He didn't just stand in that dunker spot. He got to the far corner like he was supposed to at times, something he didn't do in the past. So I think that clearly Doc has gotten through to him how important the spacing is, and it looks like so far they're buying into that part of it.
Yeah.
It works better, obviously, if Ben's a threat from that corner.
Yeah.
To shoot it, but you have to at least somewhat guard him if he's over there.
Yeah. So the one thing I saw last night was their attempt to play pick and roll basketball, which they hadn't done at all last year, which is done all over the NBA. And we wonder all the time, why don't they do it? And one of the reasons Brett didn't do it, he didn't have any confidence that Ben Simmons would flourish in that kind of a situation. But I think that Doc Rivers is determined to do that at this point.
Yeah, and one of them with Simmons ended up, Embiid wasn't even involved in the action, yet Embiid ended up getting the easy dunk because Simmons' vision is so good. So you go under, Simmons is still a great passer. That's where this was one of the flaws with Brett. A lot of people talked about it. You have to do it anyway. Also, the thinking was Embiid wasn't on board with it. I don't know. It looked to me like Embiid was pretty committed to setting those picks and rolling or popping or whatever he had to do based on one game. I'm now starting to think more and more that was a Brett thing and not a Joel thing, because all of a sudden in 3 weeks he's comfortable when he didn't want to do it for years. I can't buy that. So.
Well, you look at the starting lineup and they all contribute. You look at their plus minus. They all, everybody in the starting five was a plus, almost double digits plus. Except for Danny Green, he didn't really play that well. Curry hit a couple shots early, and then I think he couldn't find a shot. But, you know, these things would be ironed out. It's silly for us to, like, overanalyze what happened last night in game one, where they only had, like, a week together to play together in practice.
Right. So the turnovers, that was there. They also forced some turnovers, but Boston also is working in some new pieces. Mm-hmm. I thought overall, it's hard to come away discouraged from watching that game outside of the one element that everybody wants to see.
Yeah. So let's look at it now. Okay, the starting five is solid, and we're going to like have this measuring stick for each Sixer game as to what the rotation off the bench will be, who cements roles off the bench, and who doesn't. So this is really the first foray into that. I thought Mike Scott played hard, so he's going to be one of them. Obviously, Dwight Howard's coming off the bench first, and so is Shake Milton. So from that point on, what did you see with Korkmaz, Thibault, and the rest don't count because it's going to be Korkmaz, Thibault, and Maxey really that are going to be the players that we look at.
Korkmaz struggled on both ends, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Thibault struggled on both ends, which was a little discouraging. I think that he has to find his inner Bruce Bowen, or I don't know how much he's going to play.
Yeah, I like the new look, though.
Yeah, good new look.
Good new look.
Danny Green does a lot of things, but he's not much of a creator.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine there's times where he'll come in directly for him and maybe keep the defensive level there. But Danny Green shoots 40% from three.
Yeah.
Unless he's making shots, Thibault, I just think that he's via a trade or, like you mentioned, Maxey's development. Something, I think he's vulnerable now with minutes. Mike Scott looked good. He ended up making a three in the second half. They haven't shot in that gym, so I think that played a role in some of the bad shooting for the Sixers, too. They've been in Camden with COVID restrictions. It's not like they're having normal shoot-arounds or doing everything. Adjusting to the rim, that is a real thing when you're brand new the way they are. We've never seen a team have this little prep before seeing them.
Yeah.
Other than Thibault, I don't think Korkmaz is staying in the rotation. Other than Thibault, I felt good about pretty much everybody that's going to play basketball. I'm not, like you said, I'm not worried about some of those other guys that aren't really going to play.
Yeah. So, and here are the guys. In fact, last night after the game, I went online. I got some bus tickets to Wilmington for, I mean, it was a special.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I bought
COVID special.
It was a COVID special.
All right.
So Poirier, Dakota Mathias.
Oh, won't see him no more.
Kid from Purdue. Yeah. Joe looked lost. He needs some seasoning down there.
He absolutely does.
Bradley. And see, your boy is going to, this is another thing I'm not going to be able to stand all year, you know, because your boy, they're going to be able to dress 15, which means Justin Anderson probably dresses. And I'm not going to be able to stand the Villanova walk-on act from Justin Anderson. I already it made me a little suspect. Yeah, last night he's cheerleading. Doing the cheerleading thing.
That's the glue.
I can't take it.
That's what the glue is that he's talking about. Camaraderie.
I'm not going to be able to take it. To see him be jumping off the bench every
support
timeout and come on, man. He got in there with the scrubbeens last night, bro.
He was leading them. yes. He's on only a partial guarantee, so there is a chance in theory that he would get clipped. But looking at how everybody else looked, I think he ends up making it as far as the fringe. We know who the top 10 guys, maybe 12 guys are going to be. But like you said, since they dress 15, I'd be shocked if he doesn't make it, and no one's in a sports coat. I think he has a role, but I don't know if it's an on-the-floor role. Listen, you got to have camaraderie in that locker room.
See?
I'm just telling you what it's going to do to me. Not going to do it to you. Not going to do it to Natalie. I'm just telling you right now, the Villanova walk-on thing is going to get to me.
So hold on. They play the Wizards on the 13th. He comes out, and the Sixers are going a 10-0 run. And Wizards call a timeout, and they come to the bench. And he's greeting the guys. You're against that?
It's not that I'm against that principle. I'm just against him doing it. I don't know what it is. It just bugs me that he's the ultimate guy that hangs on to a team because he does that. I was thinking, I was thinking of 16 Candles when I was watching him.
What do you mean?
Last night when he was in the game with the Scrubs, I was thinking of 16 Candles. And Anthony Michael Hall was the king of the geeks.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's the way I thought about it last night. He was like king of the geeks in there in the last 8 minutes.
That's where you go. He ended up getting the prom queen in that movie. Maybe my man J.A. gets the prom queen at the end.
I'm just telling you. All right? Yeah, it's not a big deal, and people are thinking I'm crazy. I just, the Villanova walk-on thing, it bugs me in general. And especially with him. All right, so it's General Knowledge Wednesday, and here's how we'll roll today in General Knowledge Wednesday, because it's presented by Tesla North America, the choice of HVAC techs who cannot have the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Tesla. So three lucky listeners that get a question correctly today will receive a prop swap prize pack. All right, so we'll select that at random of among all the listeners that get a question correct. Hopefully it's more than three. PropSwap.com, where America buys and sells sports bets. And the grand prize today, this is really nice, family-oriented.
Nice.
A four-pack of tickets to Winter on Broad Street, complete with $200 in merchandise and a photo with Gritty Claws. Presented.
Yes!
Presented by Dietz and Watson. You can get tickets at winteronbroadstreet.com. So here are our categories for today. We have U.S. general knowledge. We're bringing back death by date and cause.
Okay.
I don't want to get morbid here as we get to the holiday season, but I'm about to brighten it up with the Christmas decoder.
Okay.
The Christmas decoder.
Oh, nice.
You know what that is? The Christmas decoder is a category where we give you Christmas-themed things. Like if I go to you, two blank doves.
Turtle.
Exactly.
Yes.
You see what we're doing there? Mm-hmm. With the Christmas decoder? Mm-hmm. And then it's still a Christmas theme. We're stretching it out a little bit. And these are fairly well known. And even if you are not a student of the Bible, these are fairly well known things. The category is the Bible, who said that?
Oh, I better ace this.
You better ace it.
I better.
So should Booney.
Exactly right. The Bible, who said that? All right, those are the categories. We'll have a lot of fun today. Charles Barkley at 3 o'clock. So set your alarms for that. Tim McManus will join us with the midweek report, and we'll have some fun. Mike Mastelli Show, 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Mastelli Show. The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Mastelli Show on a General Knowledge Wednesday, and the weather is outside is frightful, folks. But the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention, HVAC contractors, for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester. All right, let's get going with the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And I've been telling you all week, that snowblower comes in handy. So hit Paul B. Moyer up right now. They're in Doylestown. Snowblowers, generators, stop by their Doylestown location or just order online at paulbmoyer.com. Nat, what's today's Twitter poll?
Thanks, Mike. Over 200 votes on this one early after last night. What are you more excited about? 69% say the Sixer season. 31% say Hurts next start.
Oh, how about that? Interesting.
Surprising. I thought it would be closer to 50-50.
Yeah, so we're all Sixered up. So as long as we're on that Sixer note here, and we'll get on the Eagles note because we have some news. The offensive line is going to change again, and I have an interesting prop bet that just popped up. Because these are fresh off the Las Vegas lines here. Mm. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is the NBA exact finals matchup. What do you think the favorite is at 9-1?
Lakers-Bucks?
Yes. Okay. 9-1. Bucks and Lakers. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe who's better in the East, the Sixers or the Nets right now?
Right now, Durant looked good. I'll say Nets right now.
Nets.
I'll say that right now.
Well, Vegas says that as well.
Yeah.
Nets-Lakers are next at 11-1.
So they had the Nets in front of the Celtics, too.
Yes, they do.
And the Heat, obviously.
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay.
All right, next up at 12-1, Bucks and Clippers.
Okay.
Then Nets and Clippers at 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Celtics, Lakers, Heat, Lakers at 18-1.
Yeah.
Sixers not getting any love yet.
Not yet. And that's fine. Yeah. Most people right now have them at like the 5. Bucks, Nets, Celtics, Heat, Sixers. I disagree with that, but that's where people have.
You have to go all the way down to 33-1. The Sixers, Lakers appear.
All right. And that's fine. You know, That's completely. The Heat made the finals last year, and where would they have been ranked before the season? That I'm not too worried about that. That's based on measurables, and those teams currently have more measurables than the Sixers do. But I saw some things, and I the Sixers are better than the Heat.
Yeah,
I'm not saying the Nets or the Celtics. I think right now they're four.
I think they're deeper. They got more players. I think now, so I might agree with you.
I got them 4 right now. Now, last year they were 6. So, and maybe there's a trade and other things. I think they're 4 right now with the possibility of getting as high as 2. And I think 5 is the floor. That's kind of where I think they're slotted at.
All right. It's interesting. And I think that fans are optimistic that they can somehow break through with this new team. All right. One football notice before we go to the phones here. Because the Eagles are at Arizona. And they're a 6.5-point underdog. Now, to me, that means they're going to have to score some points because I think Arizona against this hobbled secondary is going to score some points.
Yeah.
For the Eagles to score some points, Jalen Hurts is going to have to do the exact same thing that he did last week.
Yeah.
He's going to have to run for more than 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, an odd has popped up, a prop bet. Who will have more rushing yards this week, Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray?
I would think that Hurts would be the favorite there to have more yards.
He is the favorite at -160.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, Murray is still more than Hurts, prefers to throw the ball. He's a scrambler to throw. Hurts, at least in one game, was running to run.
I just gave you a bet that I think you can load up on.
Yeah. You can load. I would load. Yeah.
You should load on that right now.
Yeah.
All right. He's going into the load. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's start off this General Knowledge Wednesday with Gene in Doylestown. What's up, Gene?
How are you, Michael?
Hello, Gene.
Let me get y'all speaker. Okay, here we are. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I said, Carson Wentz. I've been guilty of it. We've all been calling Doug stupid, but I think he may have audibilized himself out of a job. Because I hear these whispers that Doug's been calling the same plays all along, and Carson's been
I think that's BS. Yeah, I don't think that's true at all. I think that's nonsense.
Again, it's like I said, if it's nonsense, that's frightening because that means, you know, Doug is just...
Who's been saying that? I actually heard
it on the show yesterday morning with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, and they're
out of towners. They don't know. All due respect. they don't know. Come on.
And like I said, that's why it is.
Like that idiot Wilbon went off yesterday too, talking about how he all along has been saying that Hurts should be in there ahead of Wentz. You know, these guys, like, they create their own narrative when it suits them.
I'm racking my brain trying to figure out what the heck happened. So anytime I hear something that maybe even
think about that. How many plays are called during the course of a day? How many could he be audible out of? Like four? You know, come on. Yeah, logically, you got to. Well, he's changing every play that Doug calls.
I can't say yes to that. I would hope not.
Yeah, come on, man. You're a smarter man than that. I'm surprised at you, Gene. Come on.
Thank you. Like I said, I'm grasping here. I'm looking for anything that could possibly explain what the heck went wrong with this young man.
Yeah, the game plan has been pristine. And if it were not for Carson Wentz changing every play...
Because, again, another thing we're going to talk about the O-line and the 12 different combinations, but it's the same line that Hurts played behind this weekend. And I know it's one game. I'm not getting carried away with it. And, you know,
it's the same line, except he rolled out and he scrambled because he could do that.
And again, if I remember, Carson used to be able to do that.
Yeah, he can't do that much anymore. You can see he lumbers a little bit more now.
The injury bug, I guess. You know, break a wheel and it's never quite the same.
Exactly. All right, man. Here's a general knowledge question here after I've calmed down completely. It's a U.S. general knowledge.
U.S. general knowledge.
Who appears on the front of a $10 bill?
Front of the $10 bill. That is the front of the 10. Andrew Jackson.
Incorrect. The easiest questions can somehow get by. That's Alexander Hamilton.
Yes, it is.
And I recall a scene from The Wire where Michael B. Jordan, who was playing Wallace, you remember this scene where he's gone. He actually was smart enough. He goes, Hamilton ain't no president. And D'Angelo Barksdale said, ain't no white man get their face on legal tender that ain't no president. So actually, Wallace had it right. D'Angelo had it wrong.
Yes.
It was a little courtyard conversation.
Yes. Wallace was a very interesting character.
Wallace was smart.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
It was sad.
In the long run, I don't want to tell in case people still haven't watched
it. It ended 2005, so there's no excuse now.
Yeah, like he had a nice...
He was smart. He took care of the kids.
That's what I'm saying.
He gave a juice box.
And that's what he thought was happening. He thought it was a game right before he
tried to get away. He went to Southern Maryland with his grandma.
Comes back.
Couldn't handle it down there. It was too quiet. He didn't know what the crickets were.
Yeah.
That was so good, that show.
You know, I've had beef with Beanie Siegel for many years.
Why?
Because of money. Because I took it personal when he said, you're just mad because you didn't see big face money until those big face 20s.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have big face money until the big face 20s. So I felt like he was talking to me.
You can't take it personal. He was just giving you some advice.
Come on, Beans.
It's the man.
The big face hundreds, where am I getting a $100 bill? I had $100 from a paycheck. They give me 20s.
Yeah.
So the first big face money I had was the big face 20.
You know, it's funny because I thought the same thing when I got my pocket picked in India of 10 $100 bills. Those little Indian kids didn't know what a $100 bill was.
No.
But the adults did.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys, I realize it's preseason for the Sixers, but I personally don't think the game could have gone a whole lot better. I think they did what I was hoping they would do, showed energy and chemistry, spacing. The only disappointing thing was I got to see Corky again. I thought he might be history.
Yeah, well, what's worse than that is I happen to be watching the national feed because I like to hear what the national people say. Unfortunately, I got Chris Webber last night. And that idiot, he knows nothing. For a guy that's played as much basketball and analyzed it, so-called analyzed it for so many years, he has no idea what he's talking about. he's talking about Corey, about how he likes his game and how he can actually play the four.
Four? Oh, my God.
It's, come on, man. Come on, Chris.
Well, it's ridiculous, you know, and I was listening to somebody's show earlier today, and the early show, I guess, and Jimmy Lynam was talking about, you know, Corky learning to put the ball on the floor, and he can't get out of his own way to he's got no handle, and if his shot's not going, he's got nothing.
Yeah, well, listen. I've been telling Doc for a long time, not to his face, but in space. You gonna learn?
Right.
Oh, you gonna learn?
Well, Corky will show his true colors soon enough.
Yeah. All right, man. General knowledge question.
Sure.
Christmas decoder.
Okay.
Who are? Well, wait a minute. What is one of the most popular Christmas tree toppers? One of the two most popular Christmas tree toppers. It starts with an A. by alphabet. These are easy. By alphabet.
Angel.
That's correct. It's an angel. Well, this is a giveaway.
Yeah.
By the way, who's... That was a movie quote I threw. Oh, you going to learn. You going to learn. Oh, you going to learn.
I don't know.
That's Furious Styles, man.
No.
Not
Furious was talking to Cuba Gooding when he was out, you know, doing some bad stuff.
No.
That's
too short a line.
Lesson in the house. Well, he said it sternly, as only Furious can. Oh, yeah. Trey. You going to learn, Trey. Oh, you going to learn.
All right,
let's go. See, this is what I'm telling you about me. Stupid stuff like that.
It's not stupid.
It's ridiculous.
No, my brain works the same way.
It does?
Yes. I can be reading and singing a song in my head at the same time.
Well, but see, this is like I've wasted so much of my brain. This is what my point is. Because that came out, I go, you going to learn. And that was like a movie thing that just popped up. For that, how long ago was that movie?
I have no idea.
All right, so it's cemented. It's detrimental to the rest of my brain absorbing other stuff.
No, I have
like
it too.
Technology.
I swear. Oh, wait, yeah. Did you figure out your screenshot?
Yeah. But I... Yeah, I see. I'm an idiot when it comes to stuff. All right, let's go to Leonard in Philly. Leonard, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Leonard.
Mike.
What, Leonard?
That's a classic. What are you talking about? Boys in the Hood? As soon as you said that, I was like,
oh, you got it? You had it.
Last
I made a scene. He was right in his living room.
Come on.
Trey was doing something untoward, and Furious was on him. I love Furious. Wow, what happened to you, Leonard? Oh, Leonard. Leonard lost his connection.
Is he in the snow?
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. just had trouble concentrating.
Maybe he did. I think he had somebody there who was trying to communicate with him at the same time.
Huh.
All right, Thomas and Broomall, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's going on, Thomas?
Good. Yeah, I watched the Sixers game last night. I enjoyed what I saw. It's going to take time, obviously, for the, you know, new players to gel with one another. Dwight Howard, I believe he's a total upgrade than what we had in Horford. You know, when Joel has to sit, if Dwight can give us 10 points a game, you know, I take that. Now, all the names on paper looks pretty good. What would you say is the weakest? I mean, it's only one preseason game, I get it, but what would you say the weakest part of our team is? Because I feel like we do have more depth than years past.
I think that there is more depth. The only thing I can look at is, like, where does Thybulle fit in here? Because a lot of people thought he could be a starter. And then you bring, like, Seth off the bench or whatever. I don't know. He didn't look like he doesn't have the same swag that, like, a guy like Tyrese Maxey, like, you can tell has swag right away.
Yeah.
And I think that Thybulle is a little shy of himself.
And, you know, Tyrese, like, he had, like, 8 points or 10 points. He made almost every shot. Just, the little push.
He's got that confidence where he's got enough offensive skills to know he can compete. And mm-hmm. I think Thybulle doesn't feel he's got enough offensive skills, and mm-hmm. so it's taking him a little longer.
Yeah, I'm shocked that, you know, he was actually at that point in the draft. You know, I would have thought that he would have went, you know, before our pick, obviously, I think.
Who you talking about? Tyrese Maxey?
Tyrese, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a nice player. You can tell. If you look at his record, he's been wildly successful at every level.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So he's got instincts.
Yeah.
All right, man, general knowledge question. The Bible. Who said that? All right, you up on your Bible stuff?
Never read it. I know that's a violation.
Well, but see, these are questions that you don't have to read the Bible to know.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, because I'm going to go right to a movie that you may have seen, which will give you a hint to this.
Okay.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Jeez.
Well, you are aware that there were two brothers in a biblical story, right? You've ever heard that?
Yeah. It's been a while, though. I don't know.
All right. Well, yeah. People are more up on the biblical thing than others, but that was Cain.
Yeah.
Also would have accepted.
They had beef.
I would have accepted
OG beef.
Nino Brown as well.
Yeah. Yes. And
said it in New Jack City. I would have accepted that had he said Nino Brown.
Well, that's the hint I was trying to give him.
Yeah.
But it did not work.
Yeah, I'm just saying, had he said it, I'd have been like, yes, even though it's not in the Bible.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you bring that movie up, because I was telling you yesterday, like, one of the actresses in that movie.
Yes.
Who, that was like her early day.
Yes.
There's a beautiful woman, an underrated beautiful woman. Her name is Michael Michelle.
Yes. Absolutely.
And she was in that as, she was Nino's girlfriend, right?
No, she was
Was G-Money's girlfriend?
No, what? Neither. She was the one who brought in the brother, the educated brother from the bank.
Oh, okay.
Because he was doing it legit, she brought him over to the Carter, and then...
But I thought she got together with Nino.
Nah, because Nino and G-Money, that was their falling out, was over that...
The skeezer.
Yes, but that wasn't... No, she wasn't the one that couldn't get...
Okay.
No.
She is absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
And she's... I saw her the other day in a Law and Order, because they crossbred the Law and Order, where they brought the Baltimore faction in, because she was in Homicide Life in the Streets, which is like Law and Order. They crossbred. It was a case that involved Baltimore and then New York.
Oh, I love when they do that.
And she's sharp, and I thought she's a good actress.
Yeah, she was always good.
She got into the thing with the scandal with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that
she
was her.
Murphy harassed her.
Yeah.
And he exed her out of Harlem Nights. Wow. And replaced with Jasmine Guy.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, that was. That was Chris. She brought Christopher Williams in.
Yeah, okay.
That was all the educated brother from the base. Right. Yeah,
yeah.
Back when he was singing.
And when Nino put him on a griddle on the stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about me? Well, you looking at me? The educated brother from the... Come on, Nino. Yes. Nino was cold.
Yeah, he was. Until the end.
Yeah. Well, and then he was real cold.
Yeah, until the end. That's one of the greatest lines in movie history that was uttered by Ice-T.
Yes. Yes.
Wait, Anthony said, yeah, I bet you want to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That line was.
John Nelson.
Yeah.
Chris Rock.
Yeah, it was a great, great movie. And Mario Van Peebles. 610-632-0975. We got one line that's open on General Knowledge Wednesday. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 2:46 on the Mike Missinelli Show. A little Christmas season action. Charles Barkley will join us in about 14 minutes. We'll talk some basketball and golf, actually, with Charles. I tried to get him on the line before he participated in that match where he teamed up with Phil Mickelson, and he was successful in it. At least Phil was, and Charles hit a couple fairways.
And no hitch.
Right, and no hitch. Now, I'm not so sure he didn't have a hitch on every shot.
I didn't see any hitch.
Really?
I watched the whole thing.
Every shot, he had no hitch.
No hitch. He didn't hit it straight every time.
Yeah, well,
he had no hitch.
I'm curious to know, because he has tried to get rid of that for years. How he finally accomplished it is going to be really interesting to me.
It gave him credit. He gave credit to Tom Brady, which I know must really upset Natalie.
Tom Brady?
Yeah, he said when Tom Brady did his, he was like running wind sprints and stuff, and he talked about how he had to work harder at his game after seeing how hard Tom Brady works.
Look,
he had to work harder at his golf game?
Yeah.
Tom Brady
was running sprints and stuff and doing all this extra stuff. And then Charles was like, I don't do any of that, so I must not be working hard enough for my game. This is what he said on TV.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. He might have been lying.
He seems to work awful hard in his game and never has been able to get it, no matter how hard he works on it.
I don't knock Tom's hustle. I just think he's a child.
He's
not about Tom. It's about Charles. All right.
All right. He brought it up.
All right, Major Tom.
Ground control.
Yeah. All right. So Tim McManus will join us. And we have a special thing happening at 5 o'clock. Should I reveal that, or is that a surprise?
No, you can reveal it.
Okay, reveal it?
In addition to the holiday wheel.
In addition to the holiday wheel, 5 o'clock, we're going to have our new morning show, Maestro John Kincaid, and it's reintroduce him to the Philadelphia audience at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. A lot of good stuff happening today. Let's go to Tom in South Jersey. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Mikey Popeyes, what's up?
What's going on, Tommy?
Hey, look, Eggnog got a little attitude today on Doug. I love it. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I want to talk Sixers, but for Doug, I mean, these national media, I think Doug didn't call a different game plan. Rager was so open, it looked like Jason Peters was covering him.
That was a pick play. So
yeah, but Mike,
they didn't call it, actually.
Mike, Doug is just, he sold Carson out. And you know what? I want to see Carson go to New England with a real coach and then watch how we make out, Mike.
Well, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, if he plays well again this week, well, guess what? The needle is inching towards Jalen Hurts being the QB next year.
Yes, but Mike, I just put a lot of it on Doug. Listen, Carson didn't play well, but you don't see Doug talking to Carson on the sidelines. Mahomes throws three interceptions. Where's Andy Reid? On the sidelines, talking to the kid. He's developing a quarterback. Doug did nothing for Carson. I just, it's a shame.
What do you need Doug for when you got Sud? Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
you guys.
Yeah. What are you? Yeah, okay.
So the maestro of the pad,
Mike. I think the beginning and end was when Frank Wright left. For whatever reason, we'll never know the truth. But when Frank Wright left, that was the end of Carson Wentz.
You know, I was listening to Adam Kaplan on our show on Monday night. He's on with Jeff Mosher, and he was saying it actually was DeFilippo really had the hands on instead of Frank Reich. That was DeFilippo. Well,
How's this so different now, Mike? It just looks like Carson looked like he never played the game in his life.
You shouldn't be able to need a guy, is what I'm saying, all right? This is where I draw the line on all these excuses. Oh, he needs this, he needs that. Show your talent.
I'm not trying to make excuses for Carson, but I think as a kid, like, look at the Sixers. best thing for that team, Doc Rivers, a father figure. That's, this team's going to grow, Mike.
I hope it does.
I could see him in the finals. Listen, I know it was the first game, but Maxey has attitude. He has swagger. Mm-hmm. Seth can fill the bucket up. Mm-hmm. Simmons is going to be a better player. They're long. They play defense. And everybody wants for the Rockets.
James Harden.
Harden. Mm-hmm. Doc Rivers says he wants to be the best defensive team in the league. How are you going to put Harden on that team? You're going to play 4-on-5 defensive zone?
So you're out on 36 and 7?
Mike, he doesn't play any defense. How are you going to be a great defensive team when you only have 4 defenders in the defensive zone?
Stop it.
Really? You want Harden on his team, Mike?
If I would sit here and say I don't want James Harden on his team, that would make me an idiot.
Who are you giving up?
36 and 7. I'm getting out of this. Come on.
But Mike plays no defense.
This is propaganda. He plays no defense. Allen Iverson didn't play defense either. He gave you a bucket every time you need him. Will you complain about that?
But they had other defenders. You need 5.
All right. Well, the Sixers have other defenders, too. They got a big defensive center. They got some wing defenders. I don't want to get into this.
Who are you giving up to get
Harden? I don't know. But I'm not going to cancel it out because he doesn't play defense.
I just don't see this fit. I think Doc Rivers with this team, a father figure, these kids are good. Kids are playing better.
Guess what? Are they a favorite right now?
Yeah.
I just went down the list of the odds. They're 5th. What's Harden? Yeah, what does Harden do for him?
Mike, at the end of the season, you watch how they're in the top. You just watch.
You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah. Well, listen, the A question, I was going to say antlers, but I would have had that wrong.
All right. Well, that may have been one of the two. The category is death by date and cause.
Oh, boy. For sure.
1984, it happened in Los Angeles. He was shot by his father. Who was it?
84. Tupac was shot by his father, and that wasn't 84. Shot by his father. Time?
Who?
Who
is it? It's Marvin Gaye.
Oh, it's tragic.
Here's the thing. You're trying to talk yourself into not wanting Harden. I get it why you would do that. This team is, I think, going to be improved. I just read you odds where they're behind the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Heat.
And the Nets,
as far as winning the East. So, rearrange that with Harden on this team. And I don't want to give up Ben. He doesn't play defense, and Ben's 25. I got it all. 36-7. They immediately step right into the second slot as far as who's going to win the East.
With a chance to get to the one, because we know the Bucks postseason struggles.
Mm-hmm. Now, will it have to include Ben? I mean, it probably would. They're dug in Houston, but it comes to the point where if that guy is not going to play, then we'll see what happens. But to dismiss it because he doesn't play D, or he doesn't, I hear the people go, well, he doesn't win. You know how many playoff games the dude has won? You might think he's never won a playoff game. All right, they didn't win a championship because the point guard couldn't play.
Yeah, he also had led the league in steals last year, courtesy of Booney.
Yeah, well.
So he does a little something.
Yeah, like Iverson.
Saying he does a little, right? I'm saying, so you can work with that.
Right.
You can work with that. Mm-hmm. And you have a big man behind him, so if his man beats him, you have, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, here's what I get. He'll play defense. What's he won? And he's a cancer, and he dribbles the ball too much. Okay.
I need him to diet real quick. Other than that, he's coming.
All right. One of the top 3 players in the league, other than what you're just... All right, we go into the 3 o'clock hour. 610-622-0975. Charles Barkley coming up at 3, right here on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. And the 3 o'clock hour is always brought to us by Corps Police Bakery and Deli. That's right. World famous tomato pie, world famous hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Well, guess what? The NBA is back. The Sixers opened up their new package last night with a win at home over the Celtics. It's the new look Sixers, and we haven't talked to our next guest in a long while, and I got some issues to talk to him about. Here he is, the great Charles Barkley on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Chuck, what's up?
Man, let me tell you something. I told Tyrone, I'd give you $1 million to be in Philly right now with this quarterback thing going on, because I know those phones are going crazy right now.
Well, yeah, except there's going to be 10 inches by tonight, so I don't think you want to be in Philly.
No, I listen, just to listen to people's opinion for the last couple of weeks, I would love to be in the room with you.
Oh,
I ain't lying. Because I said, listen, I know how Philly is, man, and I know it is on fire right now for you guys.
Oh, you are absolutely right. It is craziness going on right now, and we'll get to that. But it's amazing. The bubble just ended, and you're back already with the season.
Yeah, but you know what I told them, brothers? You know, they were complaining. I was on a couple phone calls with them. They're talking about no rest time, Christmas holidays. I said, yo, those are pretty good reasons, but you either got A or B. You want to get paid or you don't want to get paid. So there was a very quick answer once I said that. Hey, Mike, they're playing basketball. People done lost their jobs because of the pandemic. I told them to shut the hell up and make millions of dollars. That was a no-brainer.
But you're also back at it. Usually, you know, you get a little bit of rest.
Yeah, but listen, man. I'm never going to complain. Listen, this pandemic is the worst thing ever happened in our lifetime. All these people have lost their jobs. They have lost their businesses. I told these guys, man, shut the hell up. You look like a fool whining about, wait, I only got a month vacation, and I'm going to go back to make millions of dollars. Come on, Mike. You have to be a fool to be talking like that, talking about these guys. These guys like, I need a vacation. No, you need a job, fool.
I got you. All right, let's touch on the Sixers, because it's a new squad. I mean, they made some moves. They needed to increase their shooting. They changed coaches with Doc Rivers. They ran some pick and roll last night, which I haven't seen in a while. What do you think about the new look?
Well, it's still going, like, you know, last year when I wanted to punch you in your head, you were telling me it was going to come down to milkshake. I'm like, what? You said you actually had the audacity to bring up milkshake and other guys like that. I'm like, yo, man, the Sixers going to go as far as Ben and Joel take them. Those guys, listen, you can put me and you out there with those guys. If those two guys do what they're supposed to do, the Sixers are going to be a serious contender. They are, plain and simple.
All right, but they didn't have what they brought in this year as far as wings. They brought in Danny Green. They brought in Seth Curry. They didn't have that dynamic last year. Doc says he's going to run pick and roll with Joel and Ben Simmons. Ben, by the way, did not take a shot last night, Charles. So I'm just...
Hey, that's consistency. That means how many years in a row he hasn't taken jumpers. That's consistency.
All right, so did they do enough, do you think, to make up for the lack of him being able to shoot the basketball by adding a couple wing shooters?
Well, listen, I don't know the answer to that question yet. Those guys are good players, but it's still going to come down to Ben and Joel. If those guys do their thing, the Sixers are going to have a really good team. I mean, we're talking about whether they're going to win the championship or not. We got a long way to go. Those guys got to make a shot every now and then.
All right.
Ben and Joel. Okay, let's take the Eastern Conference right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the only team I can say that's going to be better than the Sixers or Milwaukee. I think 99.9% of people in the world going to take Milwaukee to win the East, correct?
Mm-hmm. I just looked at the odds in Vegas. Let me tell you where it stands right now as far as how they rank this East. Milwaukee is first. The Nets are second in the odds. And then you go with the Heat, and then the Celtics are ahead of the Sixers.
No, I don't think the Heat and the Celtics are better than the Sixers. I don't believe that. Now, let me tell you something. I am praying that the Nets get James Harden because I want to see that train wreck live and in color. It would be the most fascinating Housewives reality show. I don't think it's going to happen. But if they get James Harden, I think it would be a fascinating train wreck watching those three guys try to survive with each other in New York with that media. I want to see that.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But let me flip it now, because the Sixers are also have been rumored. He wants to play with the Sixers. I'll ask you straight out. Would you make a deal to acquire Harden if the cost was Simmons?
Well, see, my first question would be, I think what people are not talking about with James Harden, James is a great, great offensive player. He's the best one-on-one player I've ever seen. You know, he's not as good as Michael and Kobe, but as far as being an offensive force, he's the best I've ever seen. When I said that 3 years ago, people said I was crazy. Now I hear everybody saying it. But, Mike, are you going to change your whole offense and play like Mike D'Antoni played him?
Well, I don't know if you'd have to do that because you've got that low post presence with him that creates a lot of space. Yeah,
they'll be driving into Joel Embiid. How's that create? Oh,
my man's got 40-foot range. That's the kind of space I'm talking about. When they go low post to high to up to the top, they got shooters.
Nah, man. Listen, that's one of y'all problems. Y'all got Joel shooting threes.
No, Joel down low. Now you got three legitimate shooters. How many 3-point shots would they make with that lineup?
Yeah, but if Joel's in the lane, that's just going to clog up things for James.
Well, James doesn't drive every single time he's got the ball.
He's a drive that shoots a step back three. Mike, the Sixers won't be better with James Harden. Listen. I need you to quit doing it, Mike.
I'm asking you for your expert opinion. So you're saying if Houston called the Sixers and said, we'll give you Harden for Ben, you're saying no?
Well, I think the Rockets would do that in a minute.
The Sixers. I'm putting you in charge. Would you do it?
No.
Okay. All right.
Because I don't think, listen, James Harden is not going to change his game, Mike. James Harden is a great one-on-one basketball player. He's going to get the ball and go one-on-one every time. If they stop him, he's going to pass it to a three-point shooter. I don't think that was fun for guys in Houston. Well, you know why I know it wasn't fun for guys in Houston? Because, number one, it didn't work. And two guys, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, said, no, I don't want to be in this. I don't want to watch this dude dribble all night. And then we shoot threes all night. So they both bailed. So it didn't work in Houston, and he got a better big man in Joel Embiid. I'd rather have Joel if he's going to get his butt on the box and dominate, and he can get those guys better wide open shots than James. Because you've got to double. And listen,
hey, Charles, 36-7.
What do you mean?
36.7 assists every night.
And then in the playoffs, what happened?
Well, listen, they weren't good enough to win in the playoffs. That team wasn't good enough to win in the playoffs. This is a more balanced team. All right, well, you said no. All right, so we'll move on. You said no, they're better off the way they are. I like it. All right, now let me move into football, because you seem to have some interest in this whole situation with Hurts taking over. You've been following us from afar. What did you think of this whole situation?
Well, I think, number one, Carson Wentz has not played well. That's the first thing you got to say. He has not played well. But then you got to be fair, saying the offensive line has been out all year and the receivers have been out all year. All three of those things are true, plain and simple. Carson has not played well. The offensive line, the injuries have taken their toll, and he hasn't had any wide receivers. But the elephant in the room is, You can't get rid of him. He's too much on the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to fix the line and see. Now you give him a chance with a fair line and wide receivers. Then if he's still playing bad, you got to move on.
All right, so he's your starter. Let me tell you where Philadelphia is right now. There is Wentz hate in the air, and Jalen Hurts has become the savior. So here's the thing. If they play well for the rest, if he plays well the rest of the year, and the Eagles somehow find a way to win this division with Hurts as the quarterback, you know the sentiment's going to be next year that Hurts has to be the starter.
Yeah, but he can't. What, so you're going to eat that $35 million?
I don't know. I don't know what they get to be. You know this town. If they hand the job back to Wentz, what?
Ain't nobody going to have a guy making $37 million sitting on the bench.
I got that's you. Not, that's the problem.
Hey. That's not going to happen in any shape or form whatsoever.
So it doesn't matter to you.
You guys haven't given him a lot to work with.
I agree with you. I agree. I'm thinking that Wentz has to be the quarterback because of the reasons you just said it. But you know the way this town is. If Hurts wins him over, then Wentz doesn't get a fair shot to play next year because they're all Hurtsed up.
Yeah, but listen. First of all, if Hurts plays great, he should keep the job. I 100% agree with that. But you're not going to pay a guy 37, whatever the cap hit is. You're not going to have a guy sitting on the bench making $35 million.
So you're saying they would have to eat that as a dead cap hit and move him?
Yeah, but let me tell you something. If they do that, and hey, you know, I didn't realize Jalen Hurts had played like the whole season. I didn't realize he hadn't played but one game. The way everybody's talking, he had one really good game. But now, if you cut Wentz or trade Wentz and Jalen Hurts is not the answer, your franchise is set back 5 years minimum.
I got you. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. But, you know, I'm taking the pulse of this town here right now. And Wentz, his stock is way down. And the other guy is way up, like he's come in to rescue this season. So we'll see what that does for the offseason if they get in the playoffs.
But you know what the problem is? This is really not a fair, because even if the Eagles, listen, I have no idea who's going to win this division. But whoever wins this division, it is number one, it's fool's gold. You got to at least admit that.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean,
there's
whoever
no question.
Wins this division is fool's gold. So everything, it might look shiny and they might get a home game, but you got to be realistic. Whoever wins the NFC East, it's a battle above attrition.
Yeah, I got you. So the Charles Barkley view is, even if Hurts plays well the rest of the year, Wentz has to be your starter for next year. And then you roll
because,
the same.
Listen, it ain't about being fair either. It's just about common sense. But listen, let's get one thing straight. Jalen's probably a better fit for this offensive line because of all the injuries. Because Carson, you know, he was not comfortable back there. Jalen is a terrific young little, when it comes to scrambling and things like that. So he's probably a better fit for this offensive line. But the question is, man, he's only played one game. if you trade or cut Carson and then he's not the answer, your franchise is in trouble for the next X amount of years.
You know this town then. We overreact like nobody's business. One game is enough for a lot of people.
Well, I tell you what, though. It's a big game this weekend because Arizona's in a must-win situation. You guys going to come out here and get some sunshine? If he can win another game, then listen, he's only started one game. Let's see how the rest of the season play out before we even have a serious conversation.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, let me move on because I want to get to this. I tried to get you before the match happened, but you must have been concentrating real hard on the golf match where you're paired up with Phil. And everybody saw it on TV. You swung the club smoothly without the hitch. How did you pull it off?
You know, I met a new teacher, Stan Utley. I'm coming out of this funk I've been in. Nobody has worked harder than me. Nobody. I've been hitting balls and playing 5 or 6 hours a day for the last 4 or 5 months. Nobody has worked harder than me. Nobody. And I'm coming out of this funk, Mike. I'm not totally fixed 100%. But I'm real close to being a good golfer again.
Well, listen, I think most people were relieved to see that you didn't have that hitch, because a lot of people were, you know, getting pains over that with that hitch. And I know you've tried to work it for years to get rid of it. I mean, Hank Haney had you out there for 10 hours a day. So what finally clicked in? Was it a mental thing with you?
It was clearly mental. But I think the difference is, you know, me and Hank would hit golf balls like 10 hours a day. Stan makes me play golf. He makes me play golf more. He said, we don't hit a lot of balls, but we play golf every single day. He, like, we hit 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour sometime, but we really go play golf. He says, yo, man, you got to go play golf. You're scared to play golf. He says, you're not scared on the range because there's no flags, there's no trouble on the left or right. He says, you can practice as much as you want to, but let's go play golf, and then when you have to hit shots. And I think that's the biggest difference.
Well, listen, you came through. I know you had Phil as your partner, reading every inch of every green. You know, so it's kind of like unfair. And those guys weren't at their best. But, you know, listen, you pulled it off. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, brother. I've been working on it, though, Mike. I put a lot of time and effort into it. I'm not going to lie.
All right, man. We'll look forward to seeing you back on the NBA show with the fellas as the season starts. Stay in touch, man. We weren't able
to... Hey, man, I'm high on the Sixers. I'm high. Listen, I told you. You told me that list. Milwaukee and Brooklyn, I would put the Sixers third on that list.
All right.
I really would.
I think a lot of people are pleased to hear that.
Yeah, I I'm a Sixers fan, so I'm really excited. But listen, don't do the James Harden thing, man. Don't mess up your team.
All right. You got it, Chuck. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Okay, be safe.
All right, man. There he is, Charles Barkley. Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward. So he knows the landscape of it, this Hurts Wentz thing cold.
Yeah, as soon as I called him.
Yeah,
the first thing he said.
Yeah, he's got it cold.
Yeah,
because he's in Phoenix, but he knows what people are saying here. He's got a sixth sense for the people here, the sports fans here.
Yeah, he was like, "Ain't nothing better when things start going bad in Philadelphia."
All right, we'll take a break. We'll continue with General Knowledge Wednesday. Here's how you get in, 610-622-0975. Tim McManus will join us. We'll talk about these Eagles and that hot quarterback situation and where it stands right now on the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 3:30. It's General Knowledge Wednesday day on the Mike Missinelli Show. It's time to get Twitter poll update. That Twitter poll update is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Hello, Nat.
Hello, Mike. Over 800 votes on this one so far. After last night, what are you more excited about? 71% say the Sixers season. 29% say Hurts next start.
All righty. And, of course, the Arizona Cardinals. I don't even want to say how I feel about this game, because people are going to call me a Hurts hater. So I don't think he can win this game.
Why does that make you a hater, though? Well, if you're just giving your evaluation based on what you know so far.
Because they're going to, well, it's because you're a hater. You love Wentz. I mean, I've never loved Wentz at any level. I've accepted Wentz, and I've acknowledged when he's good and bad.
Yes.
Which is what I do with everybody.
Exactly.
But there are folks out there. This has caused division, and you either have to be on one side or the other. This is the way America is anymore.
But that's not true.
And that's the way it is in sports as well.
It's not true.
All right. Anyway, Let's find out what's going on in Dramaville as we bring in the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. It's Tim McManus in the Midweek Report. He's brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com. Timmy, calm waters at Eagleville with the quarterback situation?
Oh, yeah, placid waters, Mike. Yeah. Nothing but clear sailing.
Yes.
The 4-8-1 Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes. Now, let's go over what we saw on Sunday. And I thought that Doug Peterson called it a very good game to accommodate Jalen Hurts. And, of course, he used his legs beyond what Carson Wentz would be ever able to do. And so I assume the same thing has to happen this week against a team that can score some points.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that they're going to have to continue with that type of scheme, which I agree was very effective and was kind of what everybody has been clamoring for the first 12 weeks. Like, where was that? To me, that's a fascinating element of this whole thing, Mike, is like if you go back to the Nick Foles run in 2017 and 2018, he doesn't have the legs that Jalen Hurts does, obviously, but a lot of those same concepts kind of reappeared. Like that mesh concept, if people are familiar with, it's like it's the crossing routes that they have over the middle of the field with the running back doing a wheel on the outside. It was the play that they ran. It must have been like 7 or 8 times in the Super Bowl. It was one of these recurring, like, patented Doug Peterson plays that they just had success with over and over and over again. It was gone during Wentz's time under center for the most part this year. And then it reemerges and gets run like 10 times mm-hmm. with Jalen Hurts to great success, including on that Jalen Reagor one where he broke wide open. And so it really introduces this conversation of like, what is going on behind the scenes in terms of the play calling? Because when it's a different quarterback besides Wentz, you know, Peterson seems to like find that mojo. And when Wentz is under center, it disappears. It's very strange, but I thought that the coaching staff did a heck of a job putting Hurts mm-hmm. in a good situation.
Well, what are your theories on why that happened? You know what people were saying? Well, at least some people were saying that, he worked so hard to accommodate what Jalen Hurts could do and couldn't do. Why didn't he think of that earlier with the other quarterback who was obviously struggling and could have put him in easier positions?
My theory is that they have given Wentz too much control. That's my theory. I feel like they have wanted to empower him, and Peterson talked about that this week, that he's given him more at the line of scrimmage. You want to give more on your franchise quarterback. You want to cater to his strengths and what he likes. And so he's going to have influence over a game plan in a given week. And I just kind of feel like the more that they try to do that, the more that it kind of veers away from Peterson's strengths or Peterson's system, and to a point where it just becomes kind of unrecognizable. And so this is kind of the big question that this organization faces, is that you appear to have a good coach. He's a Super Bowl winning coach, playoffs each of the last 3 years. You have a quarterback that has an MVP ceiling as witnessed in 2017, but the two of them together just don't seem to mesh well when it comes to having a system that works for the QB, or the QB giving enough to the head coach. And so, you know, that is a complex situation that the owner is going to be charged with this offseason. Is like, okay, can we make it work with the two of them together, or does one of them need to go?
It's the million-dollar question. So I want to tap into this a little bit with you, because what is your sense on where this leads? Now, two things can happen. One is that Hurts just plays mediocre. They don't win a division. They win 5 games, a game short. And then there's no question that next year they give Wentz another shot. But if he plays well, and you know how fans can turn, and they've turned on Wentz right now, the overwhelming support would be that Jalen Hurts should be the starter, in which case, what do they do then?
It's just really hard to move on from Wentz. I mean, the contract is just makes it really tough, Mike. I mean, cutting is like an impossibility. Doesn't make any sense for them from an organizational standpoint. Trading, you're still incurring like a $30+ million cap hit, which is about the same as if you were to hold on to him. And you're not going to know for sure what Jalen Hurts is, even if he does light it up for 4 games, because it's only 4 games. And so, the most likely scenario whether Hurts is incredible or whether Hurts is average over the rest of the way, is that Carson Wentz is back. And I also think that Jalen Hurts is back because, one, I mean, he's shown some flashes that he might have something. Clearly, the front office saw something in him to make the bold move of taking him in the second round when you already had a franchise quarterback in tow. You know, Jeffrey Lurie is very involved in the quarterback process and looks like, you know, he's, and this, and the guys on top might be right about their assessment of him, at least based off of the small sample size that we have so far. So how can you then turn around and trade him? You know, so it feels to me like the most likely scenario is both quarterbacks are back.
That's really interesting. Now, let me just go a little further on that, because they fashion themselves, as we know, as quarterback developers. And quarterback developers may include developing a quarterback that you can move and get value for. So at this point, if Hurts shows enough, is it possible they would be teased into saying, gee, we could turn this guy into a higher draft pick than we got him for?
But then the other side of that is, well, is Wentz ever going to be Wentz again? And is Hurts actually the longer-term answer? And if the answer is yes to that, if you still have that confidence, how can you in your right mind then trade him away without knowing full well whether you can unlock Wentz and get him back to his 17 form, which is, you know, it's been a while now. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. But the counter to that is, can you possibly have them on the same team? What kind of leash would Wentz have at that point with a coaching staff, and more importantly, the fan base? It would be almost intolerable. He would have to be lights out to avoid people saying, the other guy should be in. And that's a bad situation.
Mike, it's the whole reason why they shouldn't have drafted Jalen Hurts in the first place.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with Jalen Hurts, the player. Like, he could end up being fantastic. It's nothing against him. It's the fact that there's no win situation here. What's the best outcome for this team?
Well,
like,
the only winning situation I see, because I agree with everything you said, you can't move Wentz. You have to give him the chance at the job next year. But to do that in the specter of Hurts lurking, I don't think works either. So my only solution is that you have to move Hurts and you get value. So the upside is you do get value at least out of that.
Yeah, it's an untenable situation. I agree with that. I still think, though, that they've made this bet, and now they have to kind of lie in it, because getting rid of Hurts may solve your Carson Wentz quarterback controversy of the moment situation, but does it put you in a worse off when it comes to your long-term forecast at QB? And if you believe strongly in Jalen Hurts, and so far he's given you reason to, I don't think that you can move on from him. So they put themselves in a spot where they can't really move on from any of their principal parties. And I don't know if they can move on from their head coach either.
Tim, I see game one. They go 3-0 in the first series. Boo. You know what I'm saying? You remember those days in this town?
Well, at least fans will be in the stands in that series. So I like that idea. But I mean, the heat is going to be on the back of Carson Wentz's neck for the rest of the time of his time in Philadelphia, especially if Jalen Hurts is in there. And it's not just the fans that turn. I mean, that you run the risk, even though people, you know, respect Wentz inside the building and in that locker room. I mean, there's just that natural, like, there could only be one quarterback. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's the problem he ran into when Foles was there after he took him to the Super Bowl. And it's the same one that they reintroduced to their franchise quarterback right after he got out of the shadow of Nick Foles. Put him in the same exact situation.
Listen,
There's only room for one quarterback, and you just can't. And so it's an untenable situation, but one that seems like they have to ride out.
I gotcha. All right. Lastly, can they pull off the same magic against this team out there?
Well, it's going to be hard. I mean, their secondary is just ravaged by injury right now. They lose Rodney McLeod. Darius Slay's in concussion protocol, so we'll have to see what happens there. Avante Maddox is going to miss that game, so that might mean that you have to slide Jalen Mills, the cornerback, and then you have Kayvon Wallace and Marcus Epps as your starting safeties. It's just razor thin, a lot of moving parts, and so it's going to be difficult. It kind of turns the conversation back to the quarterback. You know, can Jalen Hurts recreate a little bit of that magic, and can he go blow for blow against this Arizona offense? That's what's going to come down to. There's going to be another moving part along the offensive line. Now the 13th iteration in 14 games with Jack Driscoll missing the rest of the season with an MCL injury. And so it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough on the road to do it, but they do have a little bit of magic working with Hurts, mm-hmm. and they just have to see if they can carry that over.
Are you feeling it?
I think I would pick Arizona right now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Great stuff as usual, Timmy. Thanks.
Bye, Mike. Anytime.
Tim McManus, brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp. Online at trainingcamp.com. See, I've thought all along that you, since you can't get rid of Wentz, here's the thing, and I think we need to focus on this. You think that you can come back with the same two quarterbacks and everything would be hunky-dory and in harmony, and I have been in this town long enough to know that that ain't going to be the case. Because if you go back to Wentz and he struggles mildly, there is a groundswell. There's not going to be any patience for Wentz. So, in effect, that's an untenable situation. What's tenable? What may also be untenable is if you believe that Wentz can come back. I get it. But since you can't do anything about that, I almost think you have to go all in and squeeze as much value out of this situation as possible, which is to move Hurts for value. Because you can't keep a guy on your roster as a backup who has replaced the other guy. Now here he is as the backup, and you're keeping him around just in case the starter fails, which almost is like you're predicting the starter's going to fail.
Yeah, but they don't know how to manage a locker room, and they have no interest in it. I think that no matter what, I think they'll both be back, unfortunately. And if Hurts is the starter, right now everybody loves Hurts. Mm-hmm. But let the next season open and you play Dallas instead of Washington week one,
uh-huh.
and Dallas goes and wins, Dak Prescott goes off an Eagle, then there'll be people who hate Wentz right now who all of a sudden love him
so
again.
So you're saying that Hurts would be the starter at the start of the
I
year?
I think the only way Hurts can come back is if he's the starter.
Really?
I don't think you can bring him back because the locker room is split.
That's why I don't think you can have both.
I think you're going to.
Since you can't trade the other one, to me, it's just fundamental. But we'll see how they handle it because they put the goose in a pot.
He also says something interesting. We can talk about it on the other side how he says that he talks about Wentz's control. It's clearly that Doug is not a smart enough play caller to figure out how to call good plays that Wentz likes, which is troubling because a good offensive coordinator would say, hey, I like this, but if you like that, I can get in the lab and design plays that you like.
Yeah.
But Doug can't.
No.
Doug can only do his plays. And he's great at calling, apparently, his plays. But that's not enough if you don't have a quarterback that glitches. Yeah. You need somebody that, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, that's strange.
Exactly. All right. I'll take a quick break. This is a very quick one. We'll get back with your phone calls on General Knowledge Wednesday. The prize is still to be given away. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3:46, the holiday spirit going on here on General Knowledge Wednesday on the Mike Missinelli Show. So a lot of New Jack City fans have come out of the woodwork, Tyrone, on Twitter. And as it turns out, Michael Michelle was the girl who Nino canceled.
Yes.
With a splurt of champagne.
Yes. And a prominent Philadelphia athlete, former Philadelphia athlete, copied that on a party bus.
Yes, that would be that Shady McCoy.
Yes.
Tried to cancel and actually kicked her at the door.
Yeah.
Which was harsh.
Yes. It's a cold game. Yeah, I forgot. She was the good girl that Nino was not a good man.
No. Shady had his bad moments as well. I had that legal complaint that she filed. I was teaching it in my sports law class.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
How did that end up? What happened with that case, though?
I think he, it was a civil suit, and I think he paid out some money.
Yeah, because I don't think it ever rose criminally.
No, it didn't. Turned into a civil suit.
Yeah. I mean, still not a great look.
No, I mean, he had a couple bad looks.
That's yeah, not a great yeah. look. You know.
Yeah, but Nino Brown.
Used a child as a human shield during a shootout, grabbed a kid, young girl.
Yeah, he was diabolical, man. He's one of the most evil characters, when you think about
he
it.
He is. G-Money and him were the best of friends.
Yep.
And he iced G.
Yeah,
he like, did. Come on.
And G was all right. G had some,
Yeah, Pennsauken's own Alan Payne.
Is he from Pennsauken?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's from Delaware, the Delaware section of Pennsauken.
You got Pennsauken High?
Yeah.
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 Well, look at that.
Yeah,
well,
I remember he would still come back, too, I got to say, because I remember playing basketball with him.
Really?
Yeah.
You're playing basketball and cheap money.
Yeah, but that wasn't a big deal. He would come back.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I think he took that scene. That's the only thing where they were like, you know, in the church clothes with the shirts off.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it was like, check, double check. Like that scene.
Yeah.
I thought he took it a bit seriously, too seriously. But yeah, but it wasn't like just me. A lot of people, he would come back. Like, I don't know if he still. That. But back in the day.
Did he have any game?
He was all right.
He's all right?
He was all right.
Okay.
But he thought, like, listen, he's a great actor. He's still a working actor. He's an excellent actor and a great Pennsauken representative.
Yes, he certainly is, man.
But as far as a hooper. Like I was not impressed.
Okay.
Like my squad, like Al Fisher and them.
It was
we were out there doing. We would go out there and do our thing. Like we weren't coming off the court.
He was busy acting.
But yeah, I mean, he wasn't.
He wasn't spending much time.
I feel like he thought that the acting respect would go over to the court.
I didn't.
No, we can't. We gonna let you in? No. But he wasn't. He wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But he was an actor.
Okay.
A great actor.
He is.
Still working.
He's in a lot of stuff.
Yep.
All right, Curtis and Overbrook, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Curtis.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Curtis?
Hey, I got 2 points before I get to my Carson point. 2 quick points. First off, I want to tell you, me and my friends do the same thing with the, like, movie lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny you should say that. Maybe about 20 minutes before I got online, I sent a single Busta Rhymes line from a track, and two of my friends were able to follow that line up with the exact lines went behind that.
What's the line?
We're not going to get, it's not radio appropriate. It's not radio appropriate. So
right,
you won't get into it. But that's something we do with music and movies all the time. So, yo, I'm with you on that one, Mike.
Yeah, my brain is cluttered with it.
Yep. Okay.
I can't get any clearing. That's my problem.
My second point is I love the Sixers, but they're going to have one great problem. They're going to have a guard, too many guards, and they're going to have to make a trade just to take some picks back. They don't need to take an actual person back, but they're going to have to move a guard at some point. They got too many guards.
They have to take salary back.
Yeah, take salary back or something, but they're going to have to move a guard, you know, and what happens.
Yeah, what guard are you talking about?
It depends. Somebody's going to wind up losing time. It's either Thibault, because you still have Ferguson, too, from Terrence Ferguson from the OKC deal, too. So, you know what I mean? You've got a lot of depth there at the wing spot. So you're going to, you know what I mean? At some point at the trade deadline, somebody's going to come up and want to make a deal for one of our guys who's not getting that much time.
All right, so who do you have in mind that would improve the team? What position?
No. I don't want to improve the team. I'm just saying somebody's going to want it. It's a good thing because we have depth.
Yeah, but you can G League those guys, man. You can dress 15. It's like, you know, you don't have to get rid of anybody.
Okay, then good. Then we have great depth. Then we don't need to trade anybody.
Yeah, there you go. Just like let them develop. We'll see if they can. Now, the one guy that didn't play last night was Reed. Is he hurt?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to seeing Reed because I liked him at college.
All right, I want to get to my Carson point because I really thought about this. Yo, listen, I used to blame Howie and Doug more, but after I thought about it, I'm starting to blame Carson more for this, and let me get to why. Mm-hmm. For one, he doesn't take plays that the defense is giving him. He doesn't throw wide receivers open, and he's already told you he's a gunslinger. Those three things are against Carson over the last three seasons. You can see plays where he doesn't do the right play or take the play. He misses open receivers, and this time is his best teaching. To see Jalen Hurts throw that ball away and work the sidelines when he goes out there on those rollouts is what Carson needs to see. Maybe seeing Hurts play this will actually straighten him out more than anything any coach could ever say to him. And I'm hoping and praying this happens. And you still come in with Hurts, but he plays right now because he watched Hurts do the right thing at the end of this season.
All right, Curtis. I got to give you a general knowledge question before I let you go.
Okay.
So this is U.S. general knowledge. Here's the question. Who was the special prosecutor Ken Starr hired to prosecute?
Bill Clinton.
That's correct. Ken Starr, Bill Clinton. You're booing Curtis. You don't like that Curtis got that correct.
No, because, like, Wentz has done a lot of stuff bad, but I'm not going to take one game and then say, see, Wentz can learn from, like, it's one game.
We're up against the 3-minute mark, so I couldn't really get into it with him.
Yeah.
You know, we've yelled that consistently, the one game thing.
If he does it for 3 more games, that's still a small sample size. But I could say, hey, the last quarter of the season, did you watch some things? But after one game, where he didn't throw a ball. Like,
it's evident that Carson was the pro. No, it's not. Only one game evident. All right. So hold on to your horses. 4 o'clock hours ahead on the Mike Mussinelli Show. Here's Ed. Get in. 610-620-975. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All righty. 4 o'clock hour. Beach Boy Christmas action on the Mike Mussinelli Show on General Knowledge Wednesday. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block. Your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online, landisbc.com. At 5 o'clock, of course, we will have our Fanatic Holiday Wheel Spin. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully you have registered. All you have to do to register to be selected for this is go to our website. And our website is 975thefanatic.com. Register now and you may get a call. And we're going to call a name at 5 o'clock. If you're the person we call, you have 10 minutes to call us back. And if you do, within 10 minutes, you'll spin the holiday wheel. This whole thing is presented by Farron Electric, from recessed lighting to landscape lighting. And everything in between, Farron Electric can light up your home inside and out. Schedule a consultation at FarronElectric.com. And also at 5 o'clock, we'll introduce a new morning show maestro, John Kincaid, a Philadelphia native, who spent some time down there in Atlanta and now is back. He'll sit in for a little bit at 5 o'clock. Let's go to Kenny in Philadelphia. Kenny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kenny.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Ken?
Got a question. Do you think Jeffrey Lurie is going to make some kind of offseason change to really help the Eagles out?
It all depends. If they don't make the playoffs, I think that is very possible. I actually think it's necessary if they don't make the playoffs, because you can't get rid of Carson Wentz and you have to touch him with another staff.
Well, so then we could say bye to Doug Peterson then.
I would think. I'm not Jeffrey Lurie. He's a very benevolent man. And I know it would pay, you know, it would cause him a lot of pain to get rid of a coach that won a Super Bowl a few years ago. But I'm thinking, from me, my standpoint, yeah, if you don't make the playoffs, he's got to go, because it doesn't work with Carson, and you got to keep Carson.
Right, gotcha.
All right, you want a general knowledge question, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is the Christmas decoder.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you the letter that this starts with. So let's go with the letter I. And this is the Bible Christmas story. There was no room at the blank.
Starts with an I.
No room at the blank. Starts with an I.
I don't know it.
All right. Sorry about that. Yeah. There's no room at the inn.
No. Booked.
So that's where the manger came up.
That's
about, right.
Yeah, so the innkeeper...
No room at the inn.
Said, no room here, but I got a manger out back.
Yeah.
If you and your pregnant lady would like to pull your donkey up.
You know.
Yes.
Some soft hay for you to lay on. The animals are around.
I don't want to be sacrilegious here, but that innkeeper, right?
Yeah.
Like, once the King of Kings, Lord of Lords is born, right? He's got to have a little bit of remorse.
Well...
They didn't know. They should have known when the Magi showed up.
I'm saying, after the fact, he had to sit there and go, oh, well, where was... Oh, you'll never believe it.
Damn.
The King of King, Lord of Lords was born at my inn.
Exactly.
Oh, where? Oh.
Yeah, I screwed
out
up.
Out at the manger in some hay.
Yeah, I screwed up.
Well,
there was no room at the inn for Eddie Murphy either in the Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
Until, like, you know, he pulled a card that got him the suite.
Yep. He ended up all good.
A reporter for Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Dared to do his exclusive with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that was, he was excellent in that movie.
He was great.
That still gets used. That's why I was a little surprised the caller didn't get it. No Room at the Inn, I think, is still in the lexicon.
It is.
It was still used.
Yeah, No Room at the Inn.
Oh, yeah.
He was in basketball play by play.
Yeah.
You know? When the lanes clogged. No Room at the Inn.
Yeah, so It's that's something from the Bible that's stuck.
Yes.
Beyond, you know, the commandments and stuff.
Yeah, and actually, Bible questions are next. Two Bible questions in a row. We get holy. David Lancaster, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. David.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Dave? How you doing?
Not too bad. What's up, Tyrone, Natalie?
They gave me a thumbs up.
All right. Hey, Mike. So I was watching the Sixers game last night, and like everybody else, I was chomping at the bit since the Boston Celtics knocked us out of playoffs. And my thought is, and let me know what you think. I got a couple points. Embiid was 0 for 4 from 3 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. In and out. Two of them were in and out, though.
Yeah, that's true. Now, had he made a couple of that, but it might have been different. But with Green and Curry on the court, I want Embiid to stay away from the three-point line a little more.
But you can't – see, here's the thing. You can't do that all the time, A. And B, he's a threat. He's pulling a defender out to defend that shot. I don't have a problem with it at all.
No, I understand that's part of his game. I'm just thinking the first game, you got new pieces, you know – go down low, kick it out, let them shoot.
Who wants to go down low in preseason game one? Like, you got enough time to do that. I mean, he went down, he was in the post a few times.
Okay, so another thing, Ben Simmons. I mean, if Chuck can get the hits out of his swing, can't Ben Simmons shoot the ball?
Yeah, listen, man, I don't know what to sell you. It's as you know, you're hitting me where I live. and you're causing acid reflux now?
I
would have thought that he could have shot a shot last night.
And another thing, Thibault looked a little lost, and Shake was shaking and baking.
Yeah, Shake had confidence. He was playing with a lot of confidence last night.
I'm liking the look right now. Uh-huh. I mean, I like all the changes, so... Hopefully, we can go a little further than we did last year.
Yeah, I agree. Now, again, it's just one game, so like we got.
Yeah,
you know,
right. And that's why I don't want to jump off the cliff. I know it's a preseason game, but you know.
Yeah, I won't worry about the Embiid part just yet.
Yeah.
All right, man. It's your general knowledge question. The Bible. Who said that? All right. Now, here's the quote. The quote is: "If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me."
Oh, that's easy, Mike. Not Solomon.
All right, well, who is it?
Samson.
All right, we'll give it to you. You almost went too fast on that.
It's less than 10 days to Christmas, and therefore this General Knowledge Wednesday and next General Knowledge Wednesday, I will allow for
Look at you, man. You're going benevolent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the Christmas spirit.
He is.
Holiday spirit.
You know, Shake put him in that Christmas spirit last night.
Oh, for sure.
He was out there doing it.
Yeah.
He complained about Embiid shooting the three. I just want people to understand this, because you've explained a lot of times, Mike. And Ben didn't shoot. So if Ben's not shooting, how on a court, how do you balance a floor if your big man's always down low and your point guard doesn't shoot? It is impossible to balance a floor if you want to be down all the time, you have to look to Ben Simmons. If Ben doesn't shoot jump shots, it becomes impossible for Joel Embiid to be down there all the time and have the floor properly spaced. It just is. That's how.
The reality is that you can't play that way anymore in this league. It just will suck the life out of you. So occasionally you have to take a break on offense if you're a big man. And do something that you actually can do. It's not like it's foreign turf. There's a benefit to him shooting a three every now and then, making it. Yeah, he's not going to be a 40% shooter, but he's going to make enough to make it an asset, because you're also bringing out defenders.
Yeah, he was 6 for 6 from the line in one half. If you double that, if he gets to the foul line 12 mm-hmm. times,
yeah.
that's top 5 in the league, which is what he's been recently anyway. Yeah, he went 6 for 6 from the line. It's not like he was never down there.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to Laura in Rockledge. What's up, Laura?
Michael.
How are you?
Hi, Nat. I'm well. How is everybody in the blizzard of 2020?
We haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
We came in before it started to snow, and we see it out there now. So we haven't been actually in it.
Okay. I mean, do you have windows? Can you actually see what's it's
yeah,
it's
well, we can see. Yeah, we can see the snow. We don't have a window as we're doing this show, but when we roam the hallway, we see it coming down.
Yeah, be careful traveling out there because, you know, people act like it's the first time they've ever seen snow. Anyway,
gotcha.
So here's the thing with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And I kind of said this before, but in a different way. Here's the problem. The problem is that Carson and Doug are in a pissing match. I don't want to change. You don't want to coach differently. I'm not going to play differently. You don't want to play differently. I'm not going to coach differently. Mm-hmm. That's the problem there.
Yeah.
Now, who wins out of the trifecta between Jalen, Carson, and Doug? Carson, clearly. Because we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. We can't get rid of him. So if he's going to sit on the bench and be the backup, he wins. That's the best case scenario for him. Oh, I can just show up every week and not have to worry about getting hurt.
Yes.
Now, if Jalen ends up being some superstar over the next, you know, three, whatever, possibly into the playoffs, Does Doug Peterson stick around for that? No, I think Doug Peterson is the one who gets cut out of this equation. Has to be.
Well, if
because
they,
Jalen, I mean, even if we trade Jalen,
well, okay, suppose Jalen will be the starting quarterback next year.
Well, then Jalen's going to be the starting. I mean,
well, you know, it seems like Doug. No, if Jalen's the starting quarterback, he'll have success. If he has success, that probably means the coach has done something good.
Okay, so then Doug stays, and then Carson says, we got Carson either way. So what, are you going to start him and suck again next season? Or
you start Hurts, and you have to bite the bullet that Wentz is your backup.
Either, that's what I mean. Either way, Wentz isn't going anywhere. So whether you start him or bench him, you're still, you know, giving him the same paycheck.
Yeah. All right. I get you, Laura. All right, Laura, it's time for general knowledge.
Oh, Lord in heaven. Go ahead.
Deaths by date and cause. I'm going to give you the date, and I'm going to give you where. This happened in 1998. It happened in Nevada. He was a singer. It was a ski accident.
Oh, I know. Sonny of Sonny and Cher fame.
That's correct. Sonny Bono is correct.
I think he was a congressman at that time.
Oh, was he? Yeah, he was a congressman. You're right.
Yeah, that's why I've never skied.
He smashed into a tree. What?
That's why I've never skied.
Why?
Because of Sonny Bono?
Well, I remember when I learned about Sonny and Cher, and then I found out that Sonny died in a ski accident. I was young, and that I think is what kind of makes me terrified of skiing.
Yeah. Well, the idea is not to veer off into a tree. You know, so that's why they make a trail.
I'm so far behind now, though. Like, I'm in my 30s.
Yeah, you do it.
I'm going to be on the bunny slopes?
Yeah, that's how you start.
Yeah, you start a bunny shush.
Yeah, you don't go. There's no trees where you would be skiing.
I know.
You have to get your skill level to the point where you'd be anywhere near a tree.
So I'm going to be by myself with what, like kids on the bunny slopes?
Well, you don't go skiing alone.
Okay.
No,
everybody else is experienced.
Well, you don't have a friend who's not skied?
I actually do.
Or call any black person.
You're from the Northeast.
Yeah.
Where
do we ski? Burrhoe Park?
That's what I mean. I'm sure they didn't spawn a plethora of skiers.
No,
and you would have some friends that you can go and ski with.
No, we skied at Burrhoe and on golf courses.
Yeah, so I don't understand. You find somebody to go with you to
the It'll be a fun day. Now, are you a cold person?
See, I like sledding. Thing is, like, if
how
I
long can you stay out in the cold?
That's TBD. I'm not really sure anymore.
Listen, take a couple runs and get to the lounge.
That's probably my best bet.
Joe in Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's
man?
Up, Joe?
Hey, I've been listening every day, all time. I love the show. Great job, guys. I think I know what's going on with the Eagles, man. I woke up in the middle of the night last night. I went to go to the bathroom. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you have these premonitions where all these ideas come in your head and you're like, oh, man, that's a really good idea. Well, I had one of them last night. I think I know what's going on, but I don't think there's any answer to the solution here. Or solution to the answer, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I think that the Eagles want to be a run-pass option, an RPO offense, heavy RPO offense. And I think that Carson Wentz, as much as I love him, I don't think he can do it. And I think that, listen, the Eagles as an organization, and that includes Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, and Jeffrey Lurie, they won a Super Bowl with a little better than mediocre quarterback in Nick Foles running the RPOs, right?
Yeah.
So I think they want to do this with Carson Wentz too, because I think I just think he can't do it. Because
why wouldn't he be able to do it?
See,
that's the thing that perplexes me.
I
mean, he's young enough, he's mobile enough. Well, why wouldn't he be able to do that?
You know what, Mike? I'm thinking that in practice, when he tries to do it, the balls are flying all over the place. And I think that when they gave him the big contract, they thought maybe they could make him that kind of quarterback, but he's just not, he can't do it. So now they drafted Jalen Hurts. Because you see how heavy the RPOs were this last game for Jalen Hurts? We'll know the next four games. If it's really run pass option heavy, I think that that's the kind of offense they want to run. And that puts us in a real quandary. Because if Jalen Hurts, even if he doesn't win all four games, if he can run the run pass option offense that they want to do, mm-hmm. I think, you know, Wentz is on the bench next year, and that's no good, you know? I don't know, man. I don't have the answer, but I think that's what's going on. I just think he can't do it.
Well, you might be right. I don't know why he won't be able to do it, though. Maybe he can't. Who knows?
I don't know, man, but it's a no-win situation right now. They put themselves in the situation, and
they did. They're in the soup.
They are, and you know, it's I don't know where it's going to go from here. But I'm a big Eagles fan, and I am a really big Carson Wentz fan. I really hope somehow he gets his act together, and somehow, you know, because that makes the most sense. If Hurts shows that he can play these next four games, trade him. But they're not going to trade him. So it comes down to either you're going to change the coaching staff or you're going to change the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
It's very intriguing. It is. For us, for our purposes, it's fantastic. For fans, it's angst. But
I can't stand it.
Yeah,
Mike.
I hear you.
I can't stand it. They were losing all year. This guy comes in, he looks great for one game. I know they simplify the offense and all that. But,
I just
want Wentz to succeed, man. He's the guy. They gave him all that money. He has to succeed, you know?
Yeah. I got you.
I can't imagine the pressure he's under.
All right, man. Let me give you a general knowledge question.
Oh, God. I'm not very good at these.
Yeah,
questions.
You'll be fine. who in a year 2000 song, who said in a 2000 song, quote, Will Smith don't got a cuss to sell records? Well, I do. Who said that?
Oh, my God. You guys are going to kill me. It's probably very simple, but I have no idea.
Oh. Natalie?
So blank him and blank you too. Eminem.
SM. That's correct.
Blank.
Yes. All right, let's get Jay in Wells Philly in here. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Jay?
Oh, I just wanted to make 2 points real quick. Die Hard Eagles fan. One, it's Jalen Hurts season, man. It's Jalen Hurts season. You got to trade once to the Colts in the offseason, make everybody happy. That's what you
got
to do.
Yeah, you got your radio. Can you turn your radio off in the back or whatever you got going on in the background?
No, I'm listening to y'all. I'm watching.
We got a delay. You got to turn that off, though.
All right.
So,
you can hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
I said I'm a diehard Eagles fan. One, I got 2 points. One, it's Jalen Hurts season. You trade once to the Colts in the offseason. You got to make them happy.
Yeah, we heard you say that. Let me just give you a response to that. You know, if they trade them, it's cost them 34.6 million minus million on their cap. So that would be 34.6, 20% of their cap that they would not have. Besides that, the cap is going down. So effectively, they can't trade them.
Yeah, that's right. You can't have that cap. You can't have that negative cap.
Yeah, so they can't trade them. So what are you going to do?
You can't sit on the bench. You can't.
All right, so you've seen enough with Jalen Hurts. In one game.
No, I haven't seen enough, but I seen a glimpse. And that's all I needed was a glimpse.
Okay.
Well, listen, we go down to Arizona and beat them.
Yeah, but that's you're changing the data now. So I'm just saying right now, you said a glimpse is good enough for you. The glimpse is never good enough for me. That's why I asked.
A glimpse is good enough.
It's good enough. All right. Here's the one, John Oz question. Christmas?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas question. Christmas decoder, it's called, but I'm going to give you a hint, and I'm going to give you the letter I'm looking for. The letter is G. The hint is 6-blank-a-laying.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe you know. Well, 12 days of Christmas, that's to be 6. Starts with a G. G-Money.
Yes,
Six G money, Elaine. It's geese.
That is the only, I don't know, can be looked at as a positive with this COVID situation in my Christmas.
What, the geese?
No. On Christmas Eve, I have to go with my wife's family, and they sing the 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, that's going
to
be fun.
And everyone, well, we're not, can't do it this year.
Oh.
And I have to participate in it every year.
Oh, see, this has got to be painful for you. Is that a painful moment?
It's not my favorite thing, but family's important, so I always do.
Now, do you always get the same day?
No, you don't get to pick. The only thing I don't want is the five golden. I don't want that.
So what are you to pick out of a hat?
They're all on glasses and they get passed out.
That's fun. It's a family fun activity.
Yeah, sometimes.
But the Grinch that you are, you don't want any part of it.
I do it every
year. What's your favorite day?
You do it painstakingly. Apparently.
A couple years ago, I had six geese a laying.
That's a good one.
What exactly bugs you about it? The uncool part of it? Or
No.
It's just, like the Pollyanna-ish?
No, what happens is a couple people fight over the five golden rings because they want to sing.
They fight over wanting to be in five golden rings?
Yes. Only two people are allowed, and they fight about it, and they don't realize that they fight about it every year. Like, they forget that they fought about it the previous year. And we fast forward, because I've been doing this for a long time now.
Because when they like to say five golden, they like to sing that chorus.
Clearly the star of the family gets that line. That's a hard note to hit.
Right, but that's two different people think they're the star. So every year, it's a little bit strange, because then obviously only one person can get it. So the other person then kind of mails in their day because they didn't get. So now it's like there's no harmony with it because everybody's kind of into it once it starts, except for the person who didn't get five.
Seven swans are swimming.
Yeah, seven. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So now I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. So I work myself into getting into this.
Uh-huh.
And now you're mailing it in.
I mean, I feel like the partridge in the pear tree is the second most important line in the song.
No.
But that's how you finish it off.
It's five or nothing. Wow. It's five or, partridge in a pear tree.
No, you gotta end it.
That's quite a dilemma there. That's interesting.
So that's
a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, so this year I don't have to worry about that because there will be no fights.
Until somebody comes out with the Zoom.
They might do it on Zoom.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then call me till you decide who has five, and then I'll be
You're going to do it on Zoom, right? If they do Zoom, you're going
to. I'll do it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let us know what one you get.
All right.
610-632-0975. On the other side, I have a dilemma.
Oh, no.
The snow dilemma. I think you guys know what it is, but, you know.
What? Is it about tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it getting... It's really piling up out there, isn't it?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be all right.
All right. Well, anyway, on the other side, I'll tell you what that is. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:32, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, and it's time to update our Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Natalie.
All righty, Mike. As the phone loads, it's taking an extra long time. There we go. There's over 900 votes on this one so far after last night. What are you more excited about? 70% say the Sixers season, 30% say Hurts next start.
All righty. General Knowledge Trivia is presented by Tesla North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Tesla. Our qualifying prize today, three lucky listeners will be selected to get a Prop Swap prize pack if you answer a question correctly. PropSwap.com is where America sells and buys sports bets. Grand prize, four pack of tickets to Winter on Broad Street, complete with $200 in merchandise and a photo with Gritty Claws, presented by Dietz and Watson. Get tickets at WinterOnBroadStreet.com. All right, so tomorrow I either will not be here or I will be here. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Because I'm supposed to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Which may be derailed.
TBD, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I should tell the story.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Don't tell the story?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, in any event, either I will or won't be here.
No, I can tell you during the break why you should.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yes, and stay tuned for that. It's a bit of a suspense.
On the weather.
Yes, it is weather
right, related. It's weather related.
Now, looking at it, right when we get done, the temperature is supposed to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help certain things.
Okay.
And then it's supposed to clear out by the morning.
Yes.
About 6 a.m. with the warmer temperatures. And that will
right.
be key.
It has nothing to do with me not being able to get to work because of the snow, because I can walk, basically.
You're pretty close, yeah.
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 So, all right. Let's go to Harrisburg. Earl. Earl, what's the snow like in Harrisburg?
Oh, I guess we're getting about 3 inches by now. It'll be all right.
Okay.
We'll get a foot or more, but we'll get through it. It'll be okay.
Okay.
Good talking to you, Mike.
Talking to you, buddy.
First time I got through.
Awesome.
I just wanted to say that, let's face it, let's be honest, the Eagles just suck. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lifelong Eagles fan and a Philadelphia sports fan. I'm a Phillies fan, Eagles fan, Sixers fan, and even a Flyers fan. But I had to go back to the Broad Street Bullies to really to root for the Flyers.
Yes.
But I think that the Eagles' main problem is, and this has been their problem throughout their history, they just never have a good, consistent offensive line.
Well, they did. A couple years ago, they put together injuries derailed it. So, all bets are off when that happens.
Yeah, yeah. And I realize that. And that's what's helping. That's what's hurting them now. And Wentz, I'm sorry to say, Wentz is just, he's too inconsistent.
Uh-huh.
He's only good when he can scramble around and then hook up with his receivers. And he's been missing those receivers, all throughout this season. So they made a change, and rightfully so, to go to Jalen Hurts. But I'm just afraid that Jalen Hurts will fool around, and because of that inconsistent offensive line, he'll end up getting hurt due to
A lot of teams have problems with their offensive line, Earl.
Yeah.
He's got the ability that Wentz didn't have to escape the pressure because he's got the good wheels.
Yeah, well, Wentz had that ability, too.
He didn't have it lately, though. Not as much lately. When he first started, he did.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, buddy, would you like a general knowledge question?
Yes.
This is the Bible. You know your Bible?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
I hope so.
All right, it is the Bible question for you. Will a son be born to a man 100 years old?
Oh, sure. Sure, Abraham was old.
That's correct. Abraham is correct. There you go. 100 years old, huh?
These are OT quotes, right? Old Testament? Yeah.
I think there's some new mixed in.
Well, yeah, I guess the manger. Well, no, because that's the end of the old.
Is that the old? That's the Old Testament.
It's the end.
It's the end.
Oh, no. Abraham's like early.
Oh, it's early.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like mid.
All right.
Middle of the book.
Yeah. Vicente in Lansdowne checking in. What's up, Vicente?
Hola, Mike. Give me a second.
Hola, Vicente.
How's this?
Feliz Navidad to you.
Feliz Navidad y Prospero Año Nuevo, too.
There you go.
Yeah. On Monday, I tried calling you, but I couldn't get through at the end. And you had the interview with our favorite guy, Ronald Vincent Jaworski.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
Okay, so the thing that I wanted to mention is that Jalen Hurts became the second quarterback in NFL history to win his first career start against a team that had won over 9 straight games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a monumental win.
Exactly.
Now, it was shaped by certain details, like the...
Awesome.
The Saints being on their third straight road game, the Saints not having their starting quarterback. So you got to throw that in there.
Everything, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, a question for you, and you must know this answer. Who was the other quarterback to accomplish the same feat when he started with the Los Angeles Rams and defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 1975? The Steelers had won 11 straight games. who did the same thing?
In 1975 for the Rams?
Yes.
I don't know who
against
was.
Against the Steelers.
I don't know. Who was it?
The guy who you interviewed, Ron Jaworski.
Oh, Ron Jaworski did that. Oh, yes. For the Rams? How about that? I didn't know that.
The Steelers have won 11 straight games, and he was able to defeat
them. Well, next time we talk to Joss, I'll bring that up.
I wanted to mention
that. You would think he would have brought that up on Monday.
He was very modest, you know.
Yeah, I guess he is modest.
You know, it was impressive just watching him, you know.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he, after he did a good job, do you think he's going to do it again despite that? You know,
I think he'll be reasonably successful. I don't see them winning the game, though.
Right, because Arizona just came back from defeating the Giants, crushing mm-hmm. them.
Yes.
And then the Eagles have lost corner Darius Slay and Ronnie McClellan. And Avante Maddox.
Uh-huh.
So who is there?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. They're going to have to score a lot of points to keep up with that because of that reason. And I think it's going to be tough for them.
I just wanted to mention the last thing is I just got a package from Beasley Media Corporation sent by mail. My wife says to me, hey, happy Merry Christmas to you. And she threw me a package. And I opened it up. I was so excited. It was all about for my dog. All dog treat. She was the one happy.
Oh, it was dog treats we sent you?
Yes.
Oh, well, that was a pack. Yeah, it was the pack we gave out. From the Amazon move.
I wanted to thank you very much on behalf of my dog.
All right, good. And you got the video, too, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right.
I got the Apple music card, too.
Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations. All right, here's your general knowledge question.
Yeah, Christmas.
No, it's not a Christmas question. It's deaths by date and cause. All right. Now, you're a very learned man, so you know about stuff. So in the year 2011, this happened in Libya. It was a summary execution in Libya. Who was it?
I know. Muammar Gaddafi.
That's correct. Hold on one second. Muammar Gaddafi. Yeah, it was the summary execution when everybody fires and some have blanks. Is that what it is? That's the summary execution?
I'm not sure.
Firing squad?
I know that's what they do in firing squads in America. I don't know what they do overseas, though. Some of those, they might all have bullets. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up during the quick break that we have here. This is a 3-minute break, and we'll be back with your calls. We have one open line, so now's a good time to get in on General Knowledge Wednesday, 610-622-0975.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Our favorite Christmas tune. Right there. Yeah, we'd like to let this breathe a little bit. The Holiday Wheel is coming up at 5 o'clock. Read a name at 5. So if you registered, it might be you today. In the meantime, we go back to the phone calls and talk to Tom in Philadelphia. Hello, Tom.
How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Tom?
I don't like Christmas music except for the religious stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I am kind of a solemn fan, too.
Yeah.
I like to hear.
When I hear that stuff, I have to...
I'm a pa-rum-pum-pum.
I don't like that.
You don't like that?
A rock or rocking around the Christmas
tree. No, I don't like that, but I like the pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Oh,
how could you not like the little drummer boy?
But like, if I was tired, go crazy, that 12 days of Christmas, man, that's terrible. You have to be put through that.
It's not that bad.
Jesus, Tom. Merry Christmas to you, Tom. Good Lord!
No, I do like all the religious music.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I'm optimistic about the Eagles, even though they're not good.
Uh-huh.
They're not good, but the teams that they're playing aren't any good either.
Arizona's a solid team. I mean, you know, they're borderline playoff team.
They're a mediocre team.
Okay.
The Eagles have a decent chance of winning that game.
Okay, 6.5-point underdog.
I don't go by that.
That's a lot of points.
I wanted to make a point on Hurts.
Uh huh.
Because I am a big Carson Wentz fan, and I'm not forgetting how good he's been over these years.
Yeah.
Although he has been bad this year, I do agree about that, and it was time to make the change. Hurts bothers me in that I don't believe he's accurate when he throws the ball over 20 yards. Like, I saw him miss a wide-open Rager about 25 yards.
Yeah, that's kind of been the knock on him.
Yeah, that was the knock on him at Alabama,
yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is one thing that struck me about Hurts. And I saw it in the post-game, after post-game, his speech. He's a very, very likable guy.
Yeah, he is.
And
apparently he was a great teammate.
I could see the Eagles on the sideline. The way they come up to him, it seems like they really like this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I really liked listening to him. And I liked him a lot after the game. The way he talked, he's very self-effacing.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like a well-brought-up young man.
Yeah, well, that creates an even bigger problem with as far as fractioning a locker room.
I understand that, but I can't help but like him. That's what I'm saying.
I know. I hear you. Well, you know, whatever. He looks like he's a likable kid.
Yeah.
All right, man. A general knowledge question for you. You're a very learned man, so you'll knock this down.
Yeah, sure.
What U.S. general was named a field marshal of the Philippines, served as governor of Japan, and was finally sacked by Harry Truman for insubordination?
MacArthur.
That's correct. Douglas MacArthur is the correct answer. We got a lot of winners today.
Yeah, it's great that we're getting so many winners.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to get in the Christmas spirit.
Yes, it is.
Although he was not in the Christmas
spirit. He was not. He was grinching.
Goodness.
Yeah, he's grinching a little bit. Josh in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Mike, happy blizzard to you.
What's up, Josh? So, how you doing? How is it out there? You inside?
Yeah, but it's my window. You know, I look right at the Comcast building. It's beautiful. It's just a...
Yeah, it's beautiful when it's a fresh fallen snow. And then,
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's really cool. You're inside, mm-hmm. and you know your lights. The room takes on a different color inside.
It does.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
I hear you. I think there's a lot. There's two things I want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
One, the most important thing, in my opinion, and let me know what you think. For a quarterback in the NFL, you have to have two things. You have to be accurate is number one.
Mm-hmm.
The most, probably the single most important. And number two is you have to get rid of the ball quickly. Those are the two. You could build a winning team even if you had a sixth-round quarterback who just did those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that?
I would agree with you more than I would disagree. I think I agree. You're on the right track.
Somebody could throw a ball 70 yards
mm-hmm.
accurately. Obviously, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But even a quarterback that can deliver the ball consistently, that's
mm-hmm.
that's all you really need. So if that's what Hurts gives you, then you keep Hurts. Really, that's the scenario.
Yeah, we know that enough in four games?
No, you don't know that. So here's what you're left with. And then here's like the Punnett square, right? You
mm-hmm.
basically this offseason have the scenario. It's like you keep Howie. Here's your first one. You keep Howie, you keep Doug, you keep Carson. That's option one. You keep Howie, you keep Doug, you start Hurts is option two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mix and match. So in that combination, where do you stand on those three things?
I can't see that you could have both quarterbacks back. So where do I stand is, since you can't get rid of Wentz, you got to go all in with Wentz with a new staff, and I move Hurts for value.
And I keep Hurts. I don't know why you say you can't move Wentz. If with the right
you
GM,
you can't do it. Because
I don't know, man.
Well, listen to me. Practically, you can't do it because it's costing you 34.6 on your cap whether you get rid of him or not. You do understand that, right?
I think I understand it. But my only question
I don't know that you understand it because no team would ever do it.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your general knowledge question. It's the Christmas decoder, so I'm going to give you the letter that I want the answer. The letter is T, and the hint is it's German for Christmas tree.
No, sorry, buddy.
Well, you should get it because there's a Christmas carol that has this in the title, and the Christmas carol starts with the letter O.
I know, but, you know,
You're out?
I light candles. That's
all
it.
All right. You're out. Tannenbaum. Tannenbaum is Christmas tree.
That's right.
I played golf with a guy named Tannenbaum.
Really?
Yeah.
No relation?
How do you know him in Christmas tree? Huh? So now you know his nickname from this point on is Will Be Tree.
Yes. Did you ask him?
I didn't know not until I looked at this answer. I didn't know that Tannenbaum was...
I knew of the Christmas carol.
I didn't know Tannenbaum meant Christmas tree in German.
Oh.
I thought they were just talking about a guy named Tannenbaum.
Really?
I didn't know.
Just thought it was a random guy named Tannenbaum?
I didn't even think about it, to be honest with you.
How lovely are your branches?
Yeah, that's the second line. I know the song. Yes,
you think he was talking about his legs?
I don't know. His arms?
Yeah, good branches on that kid.
It didn't dawn on me. That it meant Tannenbaum. Like it meant Christmas tree. I'm sorry. I just didn't. It took inventory.
Through winter's cold.
This cap hit thing is starting to get under my skin. I gotta shake this off.
I think he understood it by the end. I don't think he understood it when he said it. I think he understood it by the end.
I hope so. Like, if you want to just think they can eat it, fine. But this... I think there's still a myth out there that you can dodge it somehow. Like, you know, with the right general manager, you can get around. No, you can't.
Yes. Okay. So at 5 o'clock, we'll have we'll call a name that's going to spin the Fanatic Holiday Wheel. And also we'll introduce you to John Kincaid, who'll be taking over morning shortly right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Yeah, that's the music. Yeah, it's time for the Fanatic Holiday Wheel. I'm about to call a name. This name I call has 10 minutes to call us back. Jordan Torres from Hatboro, PA. Jordan Torres, T-O-R-E-S, Torres from Hatboro, PA. You have 10 minutes to call our contest lines, 215-263-0975. You call back within 10 minutes, you get a chance to spin our Fanatic Holiday Wheel, where there's some great prizes, including a snowblower and a diamond necklace and a folding wood poker table and all kinds of great stuff. Jordan Torres from Hatboro, PA, calls back. Fanatic Holiday Wheel is presented by Farron Electric. From recess lighting to landscape lighting and everything in between, Farron Electric can light up your home inside and out. Schedule a consultation at farronelectric.com. So it's Jordan Torres from Hatboro, PA. Jordan, hopefully you're listening. If not, a friend has to hit you up on email and we'll spin the wheel. All righty, it's 5 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show. And it is my privilege to introduce a new teammate here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Will be taking over the morning show shortly. And, of course, you've heard of him because he is a native of this area. John Kincaid joins us. Hello, John.
Listen to you sell it. Missinelli, the ultimate salesperson.
That's me.
It's everything. It's like, it makes me want to go get a Mercedes and then, you know, play some bets. And I'm learning a lot about new family here at 97.5.
Well, listen, congratulations for coming back home. And, you know, you were in Atlanta for a lot of years. And
long time.
Your story is a really interesting story on how you made it in this business. And, you know, you started at a station way back when that I used to work at as well.
Sure.
And just tell a story on how you branched into sports talk radio.
Well, I was, at the time, I was interning when I was working in the business world, Mike. And you might remember because you and Steve, back in the day of Mac and Mac, back in the days of Angelo, Tony, and Al in the mornings. I mean, another station down the dial. And just interning while I was working for a living, and I always knew I wanted to do this. This is what I think I was meant to do. And many of my bosses in the business world thought that was probably what I should have done. But I got caught up in making money, and I enjoyed making money. And so I just stayed with that. And I had worked for the Flyers. I'd worked for Mike Keenan and his coaching staff back in the, in the 80s. And so it was like, they kept putting off wanting to pursue this as a career. And then I got sick. I got cancer once and survived. And then I got cancer again. And I remember telling my mom the second time I got cancer, I said, no matter what happens, I said, if I find a way to survive this, I'm going to quit the business world. And I don't care what they'll pay me to do radio. I will do radio. And it involved over an 80% pay cut to go take a radio job, and I did it, and God bless it, it all worked out. So I'm really, happy to be here.
And you had a great success in Atlanta, so, but I got to ask you, being back into this sports climate, what is it like to be back here?
Well, Mike, it's weird because I've been coming up the last few months. I said my mom had been ill. She's since passed, but and it's like hearing the shows every day, consuming the station, and being amongst fans in the town. This is where my heartbeat's always been, because, like, even in Atlanta, my listeners always knew I was an Eagles fan, when, you know, they always knew I was a Phillies fan. I didn't hide it. And I had been told by Larry Munson, the great Georgia broadcaster, many, many years ago when I came to Atlanta, he goes, "Don't try to be one of them, John. You won't succeed. Try to be yourself, and they will eventually accept you." And the people of Atlanta were spectacular, and they accepted me like a crazy uncle for a lot of the time. But they grow to love you and respect you when you just deal with them straight. And I know that's the way you've been over the years. And it's an honor, by the way, for me to be on my brother's favorite radio show. Because my brother, and I told you the day that I was hired, I said, "I'm so excited because I know my brother's probably in front of the TV right now. Yeah. Doc's probably watching. He watches and listens to this show religiously every day. He can tell me about Ty and Nat. He can tell me everything about this show." So I'm glad to be on a station now where I will be my brother's second
that's
favorite
awesome.
Show.
No, that's
second
fantastic. Yeah. And I might say that your brother has impeccable taste.
Yes.
But so let you come back into the throes of this Eagle situation with the quarterback.
Love it.
So quickly, your spin on that.
If you think I'm giving up on Carson Wentz at this point based on what, a test drive with Jalen Hurts, people are nuts. Because one thing I did for 20-some years is watch SEC football. Jalen Hurts got replaced at the University of Alabama. And I'm not saying he can't be a tremendous pro. And I'm not saying that there isn't great upside. But to think that what we saw and the short time span that we've seen it is enough to make a call on chucking Carson Wentz to the side, to me, is absolute idiocy. It makes no sense. And I'm not ready to jump on that bandwagon at all. I'm intrigued, though, to see Hurts get a real shot here. And why not? Down the stretch, let's see what he's got and see what you're working with. But I can't. The financial ramifications of parting ways with Carson Wentz, to me, make no logical sense. And I like logical sports talk to a point, so I would like people to at least keep some logic into it. The dead money, you can't be trading Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
be thinking about.
Yeah, I agree with you, and but what you're witnessing it firsthand. The division, the division. Now the Wentz supporters are I think very minuscule at this point.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. So we'll see how this proceeds. Now, when do you climb into the saddle?
January the 4th is when we will premiere. Now, Bob and Jamie are, you know, holding things down, and Pat Egan and the whole crew, they're all holding it down right now, and we are going to have a very different listen, Mike. It's very...
Yeah, give the folks an idea what we should expect in the
morning. Okay, the show we do is going to be a lot less X's and O's than maybe you've heard on other sports radio stations over town. And I like... And one of the things I said to you that I enjoy about your show, I've heard some of the stupid conversations that you guys have gotten into this fall, and I don't understand why some days they just don't walk out on you, by the way. They just, like, I mean, just like, say, what are we talking about here? And it's fun. I like having fun. I like it when conversations derail. I like it when we have callers that bring something to the table that they're trying to stir the pot a little bit about what we're talking about. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And that's the idea, is that when a guy's going to work, his boss probably sucks. His job may be killing him right now. And he's tired of COVID. He's going to want to laugh. He's going to want to have some fun. We're not going to get too deep. It is going to be this will be the shallow pool of sports conversation and fun, and we're going to have a good time. And I just hope everybody gives us a listen. Give me 20 minutes of your time. Give us a half hour of your time, and I promise you we're going to keep you around longer. And it's fun to be here, Mike. This station is, there's a great energy in this building. There's some legendary brands in this building. And when honestly, you and Anthony already being on this station, two guys that I've gotten to know over the years, that was a big draw for me. That was a big draw for me saying, you know what, this is the place I want to be. This is the place I want to come home to. And I thank everybody at the Fanatic for bringing me in. I hope the audience really enjoys the show. We're going to have a great time starting January 4th.
Well, I appreciate the kind comments. And listen, we're glad to have you aboard. We wish you nothing but great success in the morning. Let's make this thing hum.
Let's do it.
All right,
absolutely. There,
John Kincaid taking over on January 4th.
And Natalie can have her seat back.
Yeah, yes.
But she cannot have her. She cannot have her mascara or whatever this is.
You gotta take the mascara?
I'm telling you, I'm very vain. So if I can look
it'll make you look pretty.
If I can look as good as Nat, then I'm fine with that.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, there's John Kincaid. January 4th, a new morning show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, we are still looking for Jordan Torres from Hatboro, PA. Jordan, you're reaching the breakneck point here. So, Jordan Torres, if you don't call back in a couple of minutes, we're still going to spin the wheel, and that prize will have to carry over into tomorrow's morning show. Certainly someone knows Jordan to alert him. Hatboro is a very small borough. Love the little Hatboro. Used to live in Horsham.
You did.
Used to go into Hatboro.
Yeah, so I guess you're going to take a call. Because that'll be the time.
We'll take and then, a call.
He basically has to the conclusion of that call.
That's correct.
To get in, or we're going to spin without him.
Yeah, Jordan's 37. So we're looking for the 37-year-old Jordan Torres from Hatboro, PA. All right, let's go to Mike in Westchester. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Yeah, Mike. I'm in the class of keeping Carson Wentz. So because I go back to people like Jim Plunkett, who was in 1971, number one pick of New England, and he got torched up there.
Yeah, long time ago, brother. Long time ago. We had to go back to Jim Plunkett.
Yeah, but he eventually sat on the bench at Oakland.
Yeah, I know what he did. I'm just saying it's a long time ago. I'm not so sure that you can use that as an example because in this day and age, it's probably tougher to do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want Carson Wentz to become part of Philadelphia negative folklore.
I hear you. Listen, I think, and we just talked about it with John, we all think the same thing, that it's unrealistic to think that the Eagles can trade him and absorb a $34.6 million cap hit. So, well, the only thing I can say, my advice would be, if you're going to bring him back, then the coach has to change. And I think that's very possible, because I don't think they're going to win enough games to win the division.
True. But they let too many good coaches leave this area.
Would you be? Would you not be in favor of them replacing Doug?
Yes, I would like him replaced.
You would like him replaced. Okay, all right. Yep. All right, man, you want a general knowledge question? Because I don't know how much you know your Bible. You know your Bible?
Fair.
Fair? Okay, yeah. Let's give you this one here. This is really an easy one. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Who said that?
I don't know.
Wow. Well, all right. Well, you know, they were hanging in the garden. What happened?
No, I was going to let him say a rapper. There's a rapper that would have fit that as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, if he had to say DMX, I would have awarded it still.
I don't think my man was going DMX.
I don't think so either. No, but we got good news.
Jordan Torres has called in. Anyway, the answer to that is Adam, that last question. Just under the wire. This is becoming a habit. Right under the wire, yes. Jordan Torres from Hatboro, PA, has checked in with us. Jordan, are you with us?
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Jordan? Right under the wire now. Somebody get to you?
I got to give a shout-out to my boy Darren, man. I was walking in from the house, so I just missed it, and he called me.
Well, that's excellent timing. And yeah, so your boy took care of you. And you get a chance to spin the holiday wheel. Now, you know the good stuff that's on this holiday wheel. I don't know if you have any preference on what you would like to get. There's a snow blower. There's a 24-hour rental of a slingshot auto cycle. There's a Star Love diamond necklace for your significant. There's a home energy monitoring system from Farron Electric. Whatever it is, what are you feeling?
Honestly, Mike, I'm just thankful to even be on and spinning the wheel. So
look at you, man. This is a modest, kind man here. So let's spin it to Natalie for Jordan Torres of Hatboro. Fire away. All right, it's clacking around. It's spinning. It's slowing down, Jordan. And what do we have here? It's still going.
All righty. That's right. And we've landed on, my personal favorite, Face John.
You have the Face John.
Face John.
Face masks. The Face John face mask. They are really creative face masks.
Yes.
And
we're getting somebody to run the binder. The binder's in there.
My folder is...
It's in there.
It's, yeah.
Well, we got somebody bringing it to you.
All right, it's all right. Hold on a second. I'll get it.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
You have to hear about the wonderful people at Face John.
Hear about the great people at Face John.
I have a few Face Johns.
The great people at Face John give you the beautiful. It's not in here. I swear to God. Guys, people are playing tricks. Oh, here it is. All right. Yeah, it's B40F. All right. It's 20 face masks, courtesy of Face John. So mask up this holiday season with Face John. Order yours today at facejohn.com. These are very cool. I think you'll like them, and you can give them as gifts.
That sounds good, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, Jordan, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. There it is. Jordan Torres spinning the wheel for today, and he got the Face John stuff.
That's right.
All right, very cool. All right, let's go back to the phones with T. Is calling from Texas. What's up, T?
I don't know what made y'all three do radio, but I do know this. Y'all save sports radio. It's like crank, man. Like, I do this station no favor. I literally cut the radio off, except in the post with Devon. But other than that, if my man Kincaid want to step up to the plate, he got, like, big shoes to fill because I just cut the show off after y'all go off. I'm sorry, man.
Well, come on, man. You give everybody listen here. We got a good team here. We appreciate your kind comments, and thanks for listening down there in Texas.
Oh, yeah. But now I got to get to the bad part because my two favorite hosts, which would be Mike and Tyrone, and every time I call your show, I know you get tired of me saying it, but as a brother, forget sports. Tyrone is underrated. He is one of the smartest person in the world. Forget sports. I listen to him. But
he is.
You, Mike, you are number one because you never attach yourself. I learned so much from you that I repeat some of this stuff to my woman, which, by the way, off another subject. Your caller, AJ, is about to ruin my home. Okay? But that's another different subject.
AJ? You crushing on AJ? You crushing on her, T?
Let me tell you something. Just put my hand on the Bible. When she come on your station, I cut all the TV down. I cut everything off, and I listen, and I don't even breathe, Mike.
Look at AJ. AJ, I hope you're listening.
Hey, girl.
Look at the effect you have on male persuasion.
True story. True story, Mike. But I digress.
Go ahead, T.
So, being my favorite two hosts in with Natalie, after a big win, I turn on your radio station, man. And I go to listen because you and Tyrone opinion, and that's the only thing that matters to me. Everything else is secondary.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate it. See, so when you saw this game and the reaction after the game, what'd you think?
Well, until I turned on to y'all, I was doing good, but you and Tyrone started picking my man apart.
No, we were just saying it's one game, and
that everything the Saints did to help him win. And my man Tyrone wanted the man to be Russell.
Well, it's only fair. Listen, it's only fair. I think he played a great game. And we didn't not say that. Well, you have to, like, take everything into view here. And if he does it again, like I'm not, you know me, if you listen, I'm not one of those guys that falls into something before it's time. You know what I'm saying?
That part is true.
I liked what they did. I also have to, like, qualify the other side of it, because in the first half, I didn't think the Saints were really all there. And I think that's fair.
That's true. Last comment, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Wentz, I told you I learned a lot of stuff from you. I've learned not to bang my head against the wall. Wentz supporters are like Trump supporters after the election. So I've learned not to bang my head against the wall, Mike. But I will say this. If Wentz hold himself accountable, because it's funny. You and Tyrone about this in my head. Ben thinks he already good. Ben thinks he don't need to improve. He thinks that he's good how he is. What's wrong with the same thing with Carson? Because Carson, I'm not worried about Carson being a bad quarterback or he can't throw a deep ball. Carson's problem is he always get coaching and then don't listen, move his feet, or can't hit Deshaun Jackson on a screen pass or throw the ball high for Boston Scott on a halfback screen pass. The easy throws he can't make. Why can't Carson just hold himself accountable, fix and work on a thing? If he come back, I accept it.
It's an interesting point, T, and thanks for the compliments and the call down in Texas. I get where you're coming from with Wentz. I don't know is the answer. I don't know what has caused his destruction this year. But the other side of it is, I think he's capable of resuscitating. That's what I will say.
And maybe this is what he needed to resuscitate. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like my dream.
And I didn't say
my premonition.
I don't think I've said anything negative about Hurts, by the way. I just want to see more than one game before I automatically decide he's the guy.
People are upset because this is a very reaction town, as we know, and we overreact to immediate stimulus. So we've reacted to that. People want an endorsement of that from us. Now, but see, it's against the grain of how we look at things to just fall in line and say, yeah, everything's solved. Because I don't do that. I've never done that.
And the other part that started happening on Monday where people started to call you, Mike, and say things that kind of didn't happen. They were like, you see him on the deep ball? Yeah. And then I was like, wait, he didn't throw any deep. Like, it was like people were saying that he did things that just didn't happen in the game.
But you see, I get it. You want legions to join you because you're so frustrated with Wentz. This guy was a breath of fresh air. They won the game. And it's like you want to think all your problems are solved. I get it. And so you want us to join with you. And if we don't, you dislike us. I get it. It's natural human reaction.
But somebody has to be the barometer for reality.
Sometimes the barometer is not popular, but
you're the barometer.
I'm content to be the barometer.
Let me tell you, they go out there.
Somebody has to be the barometer.
I will say this. If they go on the road and beat Arizona, on Monday, I'm in here. I'm going to find an Oklahoma Hurts jersey.
Well, there you go.
I don't know if I can turn it around that quick, but you get the point. I'm full pom-pom if they can win this game on the road.
I don't know if I'm going pom-pom. I may go half a pom-pom.
Well, I get more reactionary than you. That'll be enough for me to jump in. No, one more win and I'm in. I just can't do it off of one. If I get a road win, I'm in.
I'm a pom-pom that litters. You know, like they all come out, you know? It's not the full.
Yeah, I'm doing
you
the
just
full,
get like one
goatee.
Quick.
Right. It's a shedding pom-pom
I'm
for
doing
me.
The full shebang. If they can win on Sunday in Arizona, I'm in totally then.
Oh, okay.
But I need to see a little more.
All right. Let's take a break. 610-632-0975. Plenty of room for your calls. Still General Knowledge Wednesday applies. And Sound Off's coming our way a little later. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Oh, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers, and that is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for winter outdoor equipment like a snowblower, a snowblower can come in handy right now, or maybe a generator. Go to paulbmoyer.com, and they have great personal service there. I highly recommend them. All right, Natalie, the final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Over 900 votes on this one today. After last night, what are you more excited about? 70% say the Sixers season, 30% say Hurts' next start.
All righty. Let's get as many calls as we can here before we got to get out of here and get the sound off. Let's go Nick and Fairmount. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Yeah, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Nick?
I'm getting so tired of people calling in saying just trade Wentz without any like consideration of the ramifications of the salary cap. But I think I found a way that the Eagles can recover the $30 million of dead cap space. And that's if they tie Roseman to a flagpole up at the link and charge $250 per tomato to throw at him, it would only take 120,000 fans to show up. And I think we could do that.
Yeah, that's not right. Come on, man.
And
throwing tomatoes at anybody.
That's the way you get the $30 million, and then we can go get assets to support our quarterback. We can get linebackers. We can get cornerbacks.
Yeah, listen, there may be a change. If they don't make the playoffs, everything is on the table. So it's possible they make a change.
And I'm just conflicted because I don't want to root against Jalen Hurts. I think he's a good guy. I just don't know. I don't know what I should be doing right now as a fan.
I think that you can just play it like I'm playing it. You relax in the easy chair. You watch the kid play. If he's good enough to get him into the playoffs, that's a win. If he's not, then he's not, and they get a good draft pick, and there might be changes. Okay?
All right.
It's real easy. Yeah. All right. Are you ready for your general knowledge question?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here it is. This is the Christmas decoder. So I'm going to give you a letter. I'm going to give you a hint. You tell me what I'm looking for that relates to Christmas. Let's go with F. Gold, this, and myrrh.
Frankincense.
That's correct. Frankincense.
Right.
I had to be kind of awkward.
What?
What'd you bring?
Frankincense.
What'd you bring?
Myrrh.
Xbox.
Okay. What? And what'd you get? Gold. And then they sitting there looking at them.
So frankincense is actually a tea, and it can also be, it's a body oil.
Yes.
It's
you bring in a body oil? What? And I got gold? I make sure your body oil looks pretty bad if I have gold.
I think all three were revered. All three elements.
All right.
Were revered. Right.
What's myrrh? I always forget.
I don't know. Actually, I was going to take a wild guess, but I don't know what myrrh is.
No idea?
I used to know.
Me too. I can't believe I'm blanking.
Yeah, I don't know what it is now. Let's go to Marion in Philadelphia. Marion, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Marion?
What up, Mike? How you been?
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Look, I called a few months ago, and I've been telling you the same thing, and I'm still sticking by it. Carson Wentz isn't going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Only reason they drafted Jalen Hurts was to trade bait. There's no way they're just going to get somebody $100+ million to sit him on a bench. It's not happening. So
yeah, I agree with that. I think he's got that. Yeah, I've been saying that he's got to be back. So it's like what's that?
He's coming back next season. Now my thing, he should let Hurts start for the rest of the season, but come next season, Carson's starting. It doesn't matter who say what.
I agree with you. The only snag is you're not creating a comfortable environment to bring him back if Hurts plays well. And it divides the team's loyalties on who's the better player.
Yeah.
So you almost have to, but the best case scenario, he plays okay, but not great. And this way, the fan base, the team goes, all right, we're better off with the other guy, so let's start a season.
So you're talking about if Hurts plays all right towards the end of the season?
I think Hurts can play all right, but not enough to convince the fan base or the team that he should be the starter going forward.
I don't think he's going to be starting next season, man, because it's just Carson's the guy. They put all the faith in him. They gave him the money. They said, here's the key. This is yours. So,
yeah. If this kid wins four straight games, gets him in the playoffs, it's going to be hard not to suggest that he should be the starter next year.
Man, that's a different story. If that happens, I'll give you a call back.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's why we all got to wait. All right, man, here's your general knowledge question.
Hit me with it.
The Bible. Who said that? You know your Bible?
I was raised in the church.
Oh, well, then you'll knock this down. Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Oh, man.
Noah?
You're raised in the church. Come on, man. No, it's not Noah.
Who was it?
Oh, it was Lot. Man, my man choked on the question. Raising the church.
That's a tough Lot.
That's
a
tough one.
Well, if you're raising the church.
I don't know. I didn't see Booney's answer. Booney usually answers these pretty quick.
That's a
tough one. The fact that he wasn't just instantly on it tells me.
I think Lot's wife was more popular anyway. She's the one who turned into salt.
She turned him into salt, right?
She turned into salt. Yeah.
All right. Well,
so I feel like people maybe.
I gave him a tough one. I'm sorry. I don't think it was tough. I'm not Mr. Bible.
I don't know a lot of them, but once Booney doesn't chime in,
I think that
must have been tough because that man knows his Bible.
Well, that's a tough lot.
Apparently, he doesn't know well enough. Maybe he was absent that day. It was a lot lesson.
Nah.
Yeah, Booney called in sick from the Delco porch.
Nah.
It's a hard lot.
I'm sure they went over that again. See, now you're just going to do that.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's the Bible we're talking about, Natalie.
Hey, it's going to Hutch.
12 years.
Hutch in Maryland. Hutch, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hutch.
Hey, man. How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Hutch? How you doing?
Hey, shout out to Tyrell and Nat. Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year to you all.
That would be a good shout out if you said Tyrone, but Tyrell isn't here today.
I say Tyrone. My bad.
That's all right. That's okay.
My bad.
All right.
Anyhow, this has to do with Jalen Hurts. Let's put it this way. The kids show me a little something, okay? But like you said, one game, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What to say
then he goes out there and the Eagles knock off the Arizona Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Upset
yeah.
them. Okay. Cause they are, you know, huge underdogs right now. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And then wins at the Cowgirls. I mean, at, you know, beats the Cowgirls in Philly or no, I guess they are down in Dallas. That's right. Beats them down there mm-hmm. and then comes back for the Washington game. And it comes down to the Eagles in Washington for the NFC East. And Jalen Hurts has taken them through the whole way. You know, you can't tell me there's not going to be no quarterback controversy.
Well, there is. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that Wentz can be successful in that kind of environment either, because they'd be, you know, such a short leash, and how the fans would turn on him and play. Like, it's just untenable.
Well, I get it. There's a lot of Wentz haters out there because he has done a terrible job all year long. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot put him on a pedestal. I mean, the man, you know, and he was trying to be accountable for it, but he was trying to say the right things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was probably on a short leash. Okay. I mean, the kid's not stupid, you know, but he also knows he's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
So he knows he has to get better.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And I figure it this way. This is coming from up in the office. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The front office there, I think up there, they're the ones that said, "Hey, Doug, put Jalen Hurts in there and try to push Wentz into playing better, or he knows he's going to lose his job forever."
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
So I think that's what is going on. And Jalen, show me something. I don't care if the Saints were licking their wounds a little bit. Second string quarterback in there, Taysom Hill. He did well against other teams.
Mm-hmm.
They still had number one defense in the NFC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the Eagles beat a good quality team.
Yes.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Hands down. Okay.
Yep.
With all their injuries and backups, second and third stringers and fourth stringers.
Uh-huh.
Like that kid Seymour.
Right.
Where did he come from?
I hear you, Hutch. Hutch, we got to move on a little bit.
I know, man.
All right, here we go. That's all right.
I'm going to give you
a general knowledge question. Want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
Death by date and cause, all right? This
death
happened in
date.
2012. It happened in Beverly Hills. The reason was drugs and a drowning. 2012 Beverly Hills, drugs, drowning.
Drugs and drowning.
Who was it? It was the night of the Emmys.
Night of the Emmys.
So it was a singer.
Well, yeah, I'm gathering, yeah, definitely. Oh,
okay.
2012, I'm going to say, let me think here. I'm thinking.
Not too long. It's Whitney Houston.
February 11th, 2012.
Yep. Derek in New Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Derek.
Hey, man, how you doing?
What's up, Derek?
Hey, bud. Well, I hear a lot of talk about Wentz and Hurts, but I think the problem stems from, honestly, the front office. I have a huge problem with Howie, and unfortunately, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie is going to get rid of him. I saw earlier, I thought it was really interesting. I saw Lewis Reddick is going for GM for Detroit and possibly the Texans, and call it a wonder, but it would be great if he came here. A player that actually played in the league before.
Uh-huh.
But... Well, overall, honestly, I just think it's a problem with the draft, man. Like, this past year, like, sure, it would have been great to literally get Jalen Reagor. You probably could have got him in the third or fourth round. First round, you could have took the obvious ones, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, you know, like, well, I know CeeDee went to Dallas before that. But second round, I would have been happy with, like, a Jeremy Chinn, someone like that. The problem is they need so many positions that it's just like, without a better GM or someone, whoever is in the front office making these decisions, that it's just, no matter who's in the thing, they don't have help. The last time they had a significant wide receiver, it's like Terrell Owens. Because before that, they get everybody out of their prime. Alshon Jeffrey, Marquise Goodwin, literally DeSean Jackson, who was old. You know, like, the list.
Yeah, I hear you. So you don't have any faith in their ability to build the team. You're not the first to say this.
Not a single one.
Okay.
And honestly, it's just frustrating because, like, even this past offseason, I mean, I think they would have carried a higher price tag, but Bernard Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, these are wide receivers that he could have drastically helped the team.
Bernard Hopkins. Yeah, and he would punch out the defender as well before he go on his route.
No, I was good.
No, that's all right. I know. Yeah, I was messing around. All right, here's your general knowledge question. Now, it's the general knowledge category. Which McDonaldland character is a criminal?
All right. I haven't had fast food in like 20 years, but okay.
What McDonaldland character is a criminal?
Dick McDonald?
No, it's McDonald's. McDonald's fast food character.
It's the Hamburglar.
It's the, yes.
Nah.
It's the Everybody knows
it's the,
that.
It's the Hamburglar.
Who the hell is the, you know, it doesn't matter.
Is that what he did? He say that?
He said a name.
No, he said a McDonald's. He said Jack McDonald or something.
Dick McDonald.
No, he said Dick McDonald.
Yeah, who would that be? Like, who is that? Is he the heir?
Ronald's cousin?
Right, Ronald's cousin, Richard. But everybody, all the people
it's from that notorious criminal clan of McDonald's.
I don't know.
From the Appalachians.
Maybe he got it confused with the McCoys.
I don't know.
But yeah,
I think he did. He thought it was the McCoys.
You know, it's been
McDonald's.
I've noticed something lately, Mike.
What's that?
The 5 o'clock hour during the pandemic, it shifted. Like 5 o'clock was crazy. The pandemic came, and everybody I think got a little bit more sober and really were really focused. And now that we're a few months, I mean, the pandemic's still going on, but I'm talking about when everybody was home, locked down.
Yeah.
Now that the lockdowns have loosened up, the 5 o'clock hour has
it's getting back to its. Rightful
worky
namesake.
Well, we got some.
I think you're right about
different
that.
Characters calling in.
Yes,
during this 5 o'clock hour.
By the way, my friend, myrrh.
Yes,
is a natural gum or resin from a thorny tree, which was used throughout history as a as perfume, incense, and medicine.
Oh,
so
there you go.
So you know what you would buy to get myrrh? Gold.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So frankincense and myrrh and gold are on the same level. Myrrh was a medicine.
Yeah, it's like a basket.
All right. So it's on the same. That's good to know because I just would feel terrible.
It's like a care package.
That's happened before where you ask somebody what they got and you think you have is not as good and you don't feel as good about it. But if it's all on the same level, which I...
Oh, fun and games make fun of myrrh until you have an illness.
That's right.
That's the only medicine? Oh, well, then again.
Well, back then, what do you think? They had a dispensary?
The one problem. You're delivering medicine to the Son of God.
It's tricky.
He doesn't need that medicine.
Tricky.
He can use the gold to look fly.
The mother and father could use
the
myrrh.
Yes, they could use the myrrh.
Yeah, they could.
They could use
it. Oh, for sure.
They definitely could use
it. Poor Mary.
There wasn't Pfizer back then. You know, myrrh was very important.
Mary's with her baby in a manger.
That's correct. You got to keep her healthy. Sound Off is coming your way after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got to be faking me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705 is how you get into Sound Online. Hit us up if you got something to say. Publish a message. And you may make it to the big package that we call Sound Off. Let's see what we have today.
So with Jalen Hurts playing yesterday, the offense looked smooth. It looked much better. They looked cleaner. Didn't make a lot of mistakes. Hurts was decisive. The running game was good. Everything worked out great, and they beat the best team in the NFL. So, man, imagine how good they'd be with a real football coach. Because Doug Peterson ain't a real football coach.
Wow. So he had nothing to do with that win that you just touted? He had a little something to do with it. Come on.
Mike,
he's not a bad coach.
No.
He's not a good coach.
He's a great coach.
I find it very alarming how Sal pointed out that the Eagles' offensive staff
could not find a counter to the Saints' defensive second half adjustment. We've kind of said it all this year about Doug and the offense. It's another point of how Doug continues to let us down with coaching, or maybe he just doesn't know how.
Well, you know, I feel that Doug and his ability to think on his feet and make adjustments, thing, I don't think he's great at that, but I mean, it's hard to rip him after a win like that, so I'll hold on. Like, I'll save my rip for when, I don't know, it's Sunday. I'm not feeling it.
Okay. I unfortunately agree, but I don't want to feel that way. Maybe it changes.
I hear you.
So, Mike, at the beginning of the show, when Natalie was doing her thing, she played a clip where Doug Peterson said that Alshon Jeffrey is playing better. In what alternate universe is that idiot thinking that Alshon Jeffrey is playing better?
Well, you missed her snicker when she first delivered that news early in the show.
I couldn't help myself.
Right.
How does he say, like, if you...
He goes, oh, that, yeah, Travis is playing better, but so is Alshon, and that's on me. Well, no, yeah, duh.
And he it was a touchdown, but he had one catch, and he played a bunch of snaps. Fulgham only played 11 snaps.
He was sixth in receiving, receiving 6 weeks ago.
He's not going to say anything to slight his peoples. He's just not.
If I'm him, I'd
probably do the same thing.
Hey, my quarterback was a little bit more comfortable because of practice. I had Quez in there. That's all you say, but he didn't say that.
You're right. He's not afraid to sound ridiculous.
Mike Mizzanelli, just heard what you said about the fan base going overboard too quick. Well, you go overboard doing your show. You're striking the match to the gasoline. Mike Mizzanelli started the Eagle Fire.
What does that even mean? I never go overboard on judging people. Like, I wait. It's been my hallmark. I wait until I see whether, you know, I don't react to quick stimulus. I don't know what my man was saying there. All right.
I root for the Eagles as a team. I want the team to win. I want the right personnel on the field, and I want the right coaching staff to get our team wins. I mean, yesterday was a solid win for the Eagles and feel good for Eagles fans. But I think what we noticed is the way the offense is currently set up, it does not suit Wentz. They need to adjust to fit Wentz, or Wentz needs to adjust to the offense.
Get that. That's a pretty good analysis.
That's strong analysis.
It is strong.
That's really strong analysis. I don't think Doug's much of an adjuster.
No. I think that's evident. But that was a really good analysis. I felt like giving her a... Can I give her a general knowledge question? What's that off?
Maybe.
I guess we can't pull that off.
Nah. Right. Unfortunate.
There is no way in hell Mr. Laurie brings this Lewis Riddick guy in. Jeffrey must be the alpha male in the room. Look at his right-hand men. Joe Banner? Come on. And when Jeff must replace Banner, goes with Howie Roseman, the quintessential dweeb. Peterson's a big doofus and not threatening in the least. All these guys make Jeff Lurie practically look like Bruce Willis by way of comparison.
All right, well, Lou Riddick, word is floating around, he's a candidate for that Texans job, GM job.
Yeah.
So hopefully Lou scores that.
Or here.
All right, close it down.
Of the best today of summer. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, yeah, we'll sound off. 610-771-9705. Our winners for today. Qualifying prizes, Curtis Bazemore, David Figueroa, and Nick D'Orazio. And our grand prize winner was Nick D'Orazio. Congratulations to everybody on General Knowledge Wednesday. Stay tuned. It's the Ron Jaworski Show. It is with Brian Westbrook sitting in with Jaws today. And then Devon Gibbons will entertain you after that throughout the evening on 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philly has Eagles Rewind from Sunday. Have a great rest of the night. Be safe in that snow. We'll talk to you.
Sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.